Steve, you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
We are Progresside Home Theater.
Hey, Home Theater nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the Home Theater Podcast. It's all about the experiences, the sights.
Crickets. The scenes.
I got to grab his voice. I should. Yes. We didn't have time. I didn't know. We just found out John's not joining us today. If UPS shows up and we go long, he may pop in at the end. He's always, obviously, he's got an open invite. But yeah, I got to grab that. I got it for future reference. I've got to grab. I mean, I have the ending, so yeah. Why not have that? I mean, you know, such a big show today, too, Steve. Stevie.
Oh, definitely better than Georgie.
Georgie Porgy, pudding and pie.
I wonder where I've heard that before.
Did you hear a lot of that growing up?
Oh, at school, yeah. If you think about it, I was always I went to 11 different secondary schools. So all around the world, bear in mind New Zealand, Spain, England. So you know, I was always the new kid. And so as soon as they hear your surname's George, then that's it. So, yes,
yeah,
I've heard it a bit.
Isn't that great? There's bullies everywhere.
It's fantastic. To be fair, it was never really bullying. I was always too big for that. But it was, you know what I mean? It's always
you lucky duck.
So, yeah, it was fine. I was all right. They'd be very silly to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I wasn't so lucky. I got bullied, but then I also had a mouth. So it didn't help.
No, that's it. Well, it's how we cope with these things.
Yeah. Well, that and a lot of ice.
Yeah.
Ice and bandages.
Steaks on
steaks.
The ice.
Oh, yeah. That I saw that on the Brady Bunch once and actually tried it. Didn't really help much.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's one of those urban myths.
And you're ruining dinner. It's like
a bag of frozen peas. That's what
That I've done. Yeah, I've done. I still do that with the vegetables and stuff. But yeah, we have a really big show. Let's get right to, we got some giveaways. We got some big, big giveaways today. One of the biggest, I would say, and this one, but we're going to get to, this one here. We're going to go, this one came in. I don't even think Steve knows about this one yet. This one came in last minute. Ooh. Yeah. From Nelson as well. And you know what Nelson also gave. Yeah. Nelson is giving the complete collection for people listening to the podcast and not watching on YouTube. The complete 4K collection of Planet of the Apes, War Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and Dawn on Planet of the Apes. All 4K, HDR. We have the picture up there right now. And it's beautiful. Beautiful set, and he just texted me that probably 20 minutes ago, grabbed the graphic, threw it in there, and thank you very much, Nelson. I really appreciate that. And it's that's a great giveaway. He's gonna, and it's a package because I don't want him to have to ship out three for people. So it's really nice. So damn. All right. Well, that's that. That's the benefits of watching the live show. So Dan Carpenter, I'll take it in the live show. There you go. So thank you, Nelson. Dan, I will get you. I know your address. I will get that, or you can DM it to me. I know how to get to your house. I don't remember the actual address. But yeah, we'll get that off to Nelson and he'll ship that out to you. So thank you very much for everybody for playing along.
There you go. We didn't need the 10th caller. It was just, anyone saying it's mine.
Nope. But this next one, this next giveaway here also from Nelson, huge. And this one's going to require a little more than just being in the chat and just, Dan, sorry. you know, and everybody else in the chat, you can't just say, I'll take it. So here we go. Unopened sofa baton. And let's see. There we go. Sofa baton and unopened. I believe, let me get the actual from Nelson here, what which one it is, just so it's written and said here. It's like he said, an unopened, there we go. I would like to donate this brand new, never opened Sofa Baton X1 smart remote to one of your lucky listeners. So I don't know how he came by it and why he has an unopened one. I know his, you know, he's kind of in the home theater world a bit, but yes, so he would like to donate this. And thank you very much, Nelson. And thank you to, and Steve doesn't know this part yet, and unfortunately John's not here to hear it, but I'm sure he'll listen to the show because he is a loyal listener. Thank you to John and Steve, because we got this. And I immediately, you know me, Steve, I get overwhelmed. I'm like, oh boy, how am I going to give this out? Because it needs a little bit more. It deserves a little bit more than just the first person to claim it, you know. And it was literally through our conversations. I mean, it was the three of us that came up with this. It was it was awesome. It was awesome to be a part of. It was, when you guys hear what we're going to do with this, I think it's just fun. And the idea, I won't get into the nitty gritty on whose idea was what, but you have an idea when you hear what it is, that it took all of us to come up with this. And and I think this is what we're going to do going forward. Because when we get giveaways like this, now I'm not afraid of them. So I've already got my Excel spreadsheet ready. So first off, this is going to run all month. We are going to be giving this away on, what was the date, Steve? I think it's May 2nd.
Yeah, that's right.
The first, we're going to give it away live on the air. On May 2nd, that show. And each show, there will be a code word. And we've already got some, we've got today's code word ready to go. We don't know when it's coming. You won't know when it's coming. It's not going to be given out, but the code word will be given out in the middle of the show. And you get that code word. You have to email it to DJ. Email it to me, DJ@BrightsideHomeTheater. When you email that to me, email me the code word in the subject, and then also, you know, just say whatever, whatever it's for. But anyways, just email me that. That'll get you, for anybody listening, that gets you one quote unquote raffle ticket. Okay, you go on to the list. Green Room members, automatically, every code word, get 5 raffle tickets as opposed to the 1. Patreon members, automatically entered. So they're already in, okay? Anybody that donates a box of popcorn this month, you get, what did we say for how many raffle tickets for that?
Well, it should be 1 as well, shouldn't it? Although it's like a Patreon thing, shouldn't that be same for Patreon?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you get a box of popcorn, gets you another raffle ticket. Okay. And I've actually been thinking of the idea of might actually put code words in a different code word in the show notes as well. And every time you give me a code word, it gives you a raffle ticket. The way we're going to raffle it off is I'm making an Excel spreadsheet. And then on the show, I'm going to show the Excel spreadsheet on the show. And then I will show it once. One, either Steve or John will give me a number and I will go through the sheet. And it'll just, that whoever has that number on the Excel spreadsheet will win it. So everybody knows up front what we're doing. So, you know, it's you know, Mikey Schramm saying my harmony is still going for me. But this is free. So I'm thinking this is great. Even if you don't, I've been thinking of getting one myself, because I like to experiment with stuff like that. I just don't have the time right now, but I am going into another theater. Maybe this is going to work. Harmony started out kind of this way, so maybe this is the next version. I reached out to Andrew. He did a whole review on it on AV Gadgets, if you want to go read about it there. People are having good luck with it. It works really well. It's not Harmony, so it takes a little bit to get used to, but it's great, and it's free. So you get a chance to win there, and 100% of any boxes of popcorn bought from this, bought for this will 100% go to charity. And I'm not going to split that off. So buying boxes of popcorn, knock yourself out. 100% will go to the charity this month, which will be, Roseanne Sedoya, whatever she comes up with. So, what do you think, Steve?
That's very, very cool. I mean, I've got a Harmony as well. I mean, I'm not obviously in this competition. That wouldn't be fair. But it does look cool. And from what I've seen of them, they are good. And you never have a problem with a backup or a spare.
Right.
Not only is it free, it's brand new and sealed. So yeah. It's not as though you're dealing with someone's cast offs. You've got a brand new product. So, it's a very, very cool giveaway. Yeah. I like that. Very cool of Nelson to do that. And, thanks for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We've got a new joinee with us. We've got a Stephen. So obviously he's cool because he's called Stephen. Joining the live chat for the first time, by the way. So, hi, Stephen. Good to have you along. And, you've got three harmonies, he says. Hey, look, nothing wrong then with branching out a bit.
Right.
And, getting a different one.
Yeah. It's like a harmony. It really is. Mm. It's like this came about as a startup, a little while ago. Couple of years ago, I think, it's been all of the home theater podcasts that deal in tech and stuff like AV Rant talked about this a lot. I know Rob has one. Tom has one. I think he gave one to his parents and they still may be using it. And he set it up for them. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I'm pretty sure he has one at his parents, if I remember correctly.
I think there's discussion about exactly that in the comments, actually, Deej.
Oh, is there? I haven't seen that yet. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. My comments haven't updated.
Dan's saying that he donated the other setup to Tom Andre's parents.
Oh, cool. There you go.
The setup to his parents. There you go.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, I see it. Now I see it. Yep, there we go. All right. I have a Harmony also. I had two. I donated the other setup to Tom and Andre's parents. So, yeah, it's Andre, not Andre. that's really cool. Really cool. Sofa Patana is supposed to be a Harmony replacement. Yes, that is true. So anybody, like I said, get the code word middle of the show. Let us know what it is. If you're in the green room, every code word, you get 5 entries for being a member of the green room. If you'd like to be a member of the green room, just hit me up. Let me know. What are you going to bring to the conversation? You want to hang out? What do you like to do? It's open to listeners, but it used to be just for Takeover Tuesday guests that came on or Patreon supporters. But I'm kind of opening it up to, because I have a lot of people that I have conversations with on, you know, email or DMs, and, you know, maybe they don't want to be on the show. Maybe, you know, they're a little shy, and I don't blame them. I'm the same way with all the other shows I listen to. So, just let me know if you'd like to be in the green room. We'll get you set up and get you access to it, and let me know. And then you too can get 5 and have great conversations, because it's a lot of fun stuff going on in there. A lot of great conversations in there, theater builds and everything. So. All right. Is that it for that? We just have to remember to put the code word out, which I do have ready to go. So, let's see. What do we want to get to next? We want to do donations.
Let's do that.
All right. So this week we have, for new patrons, we have no new patrons this week, but we have, is that from John Heffel. Is that from last
week?
Yeah,
he donated this to offset my...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. That was from last week, wasn't it?
No, I think it was this one. Because the challenge was only set last week.
Oh, right. Okay, so yeah, John... How does he say that?
I thought it was Heffavelli, but I may be getting that wrong.
Yeah. Okay. John H. donated a $15 box, bought us a $15 box of popcorn. Thank you very much, John. And that puts us at 182 for the month already. So we're only a few days into this month. So that's already got us going in the right direction. And hopefully with the Soul Food Baton, and then after everybody hears Roseanne's story, which will be later this month, we will have a really good month for whatever charity Roseanne comes up with. So really excited for that. And let's see, we gave to the Haymakers for Hope last week for Brian Curtis, did that already. So that's ready. That's done. You ready to get to, tweak of the week. Are you ready for that?
Let's do this.
All right. And look at this. Watch this. You ready?
Okay, cool.
Huh? Construction. Yes. Under construction. I don't remember which one I had to do this week.
The bulb was last week, wasn't it? I think
that was last week's, but I also have another one coming up. Oh, let's throw this in right now. Is this the right one? I think it is. Let's do this. We're going to put this in on Tweak of the Week this week. And all the conversations about reference level, Mike Schramm and I had many conversations about it. What is reference level? What isn't reference level? DJ, how do you listen to reference level in your room? And I was toying with an idea on how to do this and show people. And while I was messing with the idea, literally sitting in my room and coming up with the logistics on how to do this, Mike had DM'd me about, like, he was doing it in his room at literally the same time. And this was like a week or so ago. And I was like, I'm putting this thing together now because it's got to be done. So this is what I came up with. And so we're gonna go to this one right here, right now. Time to set a reference for my reference level in my room. Got my iPhone, my Harmony Elite remote. Let's check the settings here on my Marantz 7706. Set it to reference level. There it goes to 00. Let's make sure that Odyssey EQ is engaged. Yep. Reference level on. You see dynamic EQ on, reference level offset 0 dB. Not that any of that matters. Go back. Here we go. Yep. Game mode, which is what I like for discreteness. Still at 00 reference level in my room. All right. Let's get this over to the scene we want to do that. I think everybody knows what it is. It's a scene that came saved. You just pull it up. There we go. Mach 10. Now, also, let's get the decibel level reader going. SPL meter. Gotta cancel that out right there. There we go. So you can see right here, it's at 38. This is my room quiet. Nobody talking, nobody saying anything. Just 37, 36, 37, 37, 39, whatever. 0.9 in a second here. I am going to speak and let you hear inside the room. Here I am. Here I am talking in the room. This is my normal voice that you can hear. And that was just to give you a reference on what it would be like somebody talking. And you can see up in the top left corner, it's at, you know, what we got. But any minute now, here we go. I'm queuing it up. Scene's about to play. The lights go down. And here we go. While it gets its HDMI handshake, that takes a little bit. But here we go.
Who the hell's that?
Maverick to range control. Entering.
Talk over this as well. I'll probably lower the volume a little bit, but you can see 88, 87. This is a really good clip for this. You can follow along because, as you can see, this is real time. So if you get a DB, you know, SPL meter going and you put it onto the scene, you'll be able to see exactly what yours is reading in the room, what mine read in the room. And as this scene plays out, I mean, where it's an action scene, so it's going to be very high, very loud, lots. I mean, it's a fantastic scene, obviously. But you also are going to hear at the end, you're going to hear normal dialogue, and you're going to see the dBs just drop down. I think we go back into the 60s, maybe even 50s, 70s, something like that. But lots of fun. Yeah, I love this scene. It's back. The breathing that I can hear, especially now. But this is, I'm actually wondering if this is going to get, I'm trying to talk over as much as I can because of, I don't want to get, you know, demonetized on YouTube. Not that we'll make any monetization there yet, but you never know. So I might as well get in the practice of it. But yeah, I'm even wondering if the, SPL meter there being in the way is enough to block the scene so that doesn't get it flagged. Not that I get in any kind of trouble or anything like that, but. Oh. It's insane. So good in the room. But like I said, so much fun. Like, if you can do this, you know, get it, download one of these SPL meters, decibel level meters is what they call them, but. Download one of those and get a reading for yourself, and you'll be able to see these peaks and stuff. I just hit 103 there. I think that's the highest I hit on this scene. Or no, you can see max. I've already hit 104.1. I'm averaging 90. I've just hit 96 as an average for this particular scene. That's obviously very high, but it's also just a scene, so an action scene at that. But yeah, I think a lot of people realize, like, their room, I don't know, do you get this in your room, and are you able to handle it? Because what would be fun is if you heard my room and were like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like 98 decibels in my room, and maybe it doesn't, and there's reasons for that, too. Reflections, where I'm just getting the sound from the speakers, maybe it's a little cleaner with sound, all the sound absorption I have. And now we see, now we're down into the 60s, 64, 72. Just some dialogue. He's still in the jet, but now it's only 75 because he's slowed down, you know, it's off the throttle. And there it. You go.
Thanks for watching.
It still plays in the background even when I go away from it. Look at that. Pretty cool. What'd you think of that, Steve, huh?
Yeah, no, cool. Yeah, very, very good. Yeah, fascinating. I might download one of those myself, actually, for the phone, just to give it a go and see what it's like. But yeah, no, it looks good. Yeah, very cool.
I'm actually going to do another video the exact same way of the exact same scene and match it up from the stream. And you'll be able to, with the same SPL, so you'll see the graphic and everything, see how they're different. And then I'm going to put that out separately, put it out as a separate YouTube video so you could see the difference between, you know, physical media and streaming media. So that one obviously was done on the Kaleidoscape, where it's, you know, it's showing. Yeah, I can just go right to the scene, which is a lot of fun because you just go doom, doom, doom. But yeah, that was a fun tweet. I've been wanting to do that for a while. There's ways I could do it a little bit more professional where I could superimpose the SPL meter because I just have to, you know, I actually prefer that one. I think that's more real. right? It's in the room. Obviously, I did the voiceover after the fact, but it's a little bit more real when you're in the room and you're just watching it timed. So hopefully that'll work out. Let me know what you think and any other ideas or iconic scenes I could probably do. I don't want to do a ton of them, but any ideas that make me go, oh yeah, we got to see that one. But yeah. And let's, you know, if anybody else wants to try to do it, you could send them in. We'll play them on the show. It's not too hard to do. So you just kind of need two devices. So I have two iPhones or a GoPro or something. My son has a GoPro. I could mount it on my head. So, but yeah. So, all right. I think that's all we're going to do this week for Tweaks of the Week, because we have so much stuff to get to this week. I have another tweak, and next week I've got another tweak coming because I'm tweaking a couple of things. Next week's is going to be a lot of fun too. So, all right. What are we up to next? We're going to go to, let's see, we're up to listener experiences, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's do it.
All right. Well, I got to stall for a little time here because we're going to get to some listener experiences because we have to. We have a new feature to listener experiences this week, Steve.
Ooh. Okay. Ready?
Yeah. There we go. Look at that.
You can see it. Yes.
Yes. So, and I even make it look like it's cut out. So, yeah. So we're going to add that in to the show. I wouldn't say they're super easy to do, but they are now. I've streamlined this as wrong one. See how super easy it is? I'm already screwing it up. But yeah, so yeah. So would you like to read this one while I load in a few more?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So this one is from Mark Hader. I'm assuming it's an email by the looks of it. Doesn't look like it's a YouTube comment.
Yeah.
sorry, guys. Just forgive me. My voice is starting to crack. Okay. So this is from Mark Hader, and it says Aquaman 4K digital code. And it says, hi, DJ. Here's a code for the show. Presumably we're giving that away then, are we, DJ?
Yes, we'll get to those.
Yeah. Yep. So I watched this today, probably the third or fourth time I've seen it, but today's viewing was absolutely the best. This is an awesome home theater experience. Video is great. Loved that most of it was full screen and the audio was great too. And around the 1:50 mark, it starts the part where Arthur goes to get the trident and there is some killer bass. This is thanks. And that's Mark Hader. There's killer bass throughout that film. From what I remember.
Yes, it is. It's an absolute blast. I really enjoy this one. I have it in 3D as well. I have the 4K, I have 3D. I actually like the 4K. And this is one of the ones that I actually used back in the fall because it has variable aspect ratio.
Yeah.
And I set my Lumigen so that I could just go with a 240 screen, so it masked it out, and I really enjoyed it in just the 240. This was one of the movies that when I first got my Lumigen, I was all excited for, because the variable aspect ratio in this one I wasn't like crazy about. This was one of the ones, I'm not a huge fan of variable aspect ratio, and before Maverick, I really didn't see the benefit to it. There were very limited scenes where I could say, oh, wow, yeah, you got to check that out. You know, this is awesome. But the only one off the top of my head is in Black Panther, when he first gets to Wakanda and it opens gradually, like you're going into Wakanda, and it gives you that feel. Other than that, it's all jump cuts and you go, what? I don't know. So I wasn't a fan and said so before Maverick came out. And then when Maverick came out, I was like, oh my God, You got to see it. And I've watched Maverick in both directions. I've watched it with it masked out at 240, and it is fantastic. And I watched it just as you saw in that clip. I watched it in the aspect ratio, and they do a great job of doing it. When he hits the throttle and it goes, boom, they jump cut to the engines and it opens up like that. It's fantastic. But yeah, this is a great digital code. I don't think the digital code is in variable though, is it, Steve? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it in digital. I've got the Blu-ray, the 4K disc as well. What's interesting about this film for me is this was one of those movies that I hated in the cinema. When I saw it in the cinema, I was
really,
really irritated. It was not, again, not so much the film, the surroundings and everything else. And I really, really took against this in the cinema. And it took me a long time to get the 4K disc because I thought, I'm not going to see this film again. But everyone had raved about how good it was, and I bought it, and I watched it, and I watched it one Saturday afternoon with some friends, and I had a blast the second time. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I did enjoy it a lot. And again, this is one where the environment and the 4K disc really makes it much better experience.
Yes.
So I've only watched it once at home, so I need to watch it again really. But what I remember from it is that it was great. Lots of really good bass, you know, looked amazing. It's reference disc, maybe. There are certainly some who will say it's reference. It's great. And so the digital code, whether it's got variable aspect ratios or not, it is well worth experiencing at home. So, if you haven't seen it, guys, get on it. You know, it's well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. So yeah, if you'd like that, let me know. And, no codes needed for that. Just let me know. And I first person to ask for it gets it. I'll have some more throughout the show. I've got a couple on my phone that came in, and, I got to get to the list. So, So why don't you also, you can read this next one. Cause I'm still, this is, we're working well here, Steve, cause I'm uploading, you're adding, you're reading.
Let's do it. This one will take a while. This is from Theo M, which is a YouTube comment response to our last, I think it was our last live show, wasn't it? 267. Yeah. And Theo M says simply this: I love the full show and I choose how to split it.
Yeah.
So that's in reference to the release of bits of the show during the week rather than all in one go on a Friday.
Yeah. So I think, what do you think, Steve? I think that idea is kind of gone by the wayside, right?
Okay.
Because I think we got a few people that said they would like it. But it's not like they're like, if you don't do it, I'm not going to listen. But we did get people, not like Theo would say, like if we did it, he wouldn't be. I know Theo would still be here. But you know what I mean? But the people that were against it, they had a good point. And that's fine. And that's why we put it out there. So because it's funny when I email people, this before you were on the show, Steve, it's our show. I said that to you before you were ever on the show. Right. And it is. It's us. This is your listener experiences section. This is, you know, we have our section, but it's our show. So we're all doing it together and let's just have some fun with it. So I keep on splitting it up the way you like it. I'll just put it out. So, all right. And then let's do this. You can grab this next one.
Okay, so this is our friend PK Hamu, 2005. And again, another response to the last episode. A YouTube comment, and it says, DJ, do audition Arundel speakers too. They've got a 60-day return policy and are highly rated. If you're a fan of on-wall look, if you're a fan of on-wall, look at Ascendo concentric design ones. I heard once and was shocked at their output for their size. KEF ones are usually a little bright, but do give it a try. Probably your room treatments may make them sound neutral. All the best. So that's your ongoing speaker runoff, which may well be never ending.
Right. And that's why I put this one in. That's why I put PKs in here, because I don't know if you heard today's Takeover Tuesday with John.
I did.
And I said, I'm like, I wasn't going to put any in this show because I got so many replies of suggestions. But PK literally was the first one, and I love PK anyways. But I'm like, all right, I'll put PKs in as an example of it's they're highly rated. It's I chose my three. And then I was like, and I knew this would happen. And I said it to John on the Takeover Tuesday. And I was like, I knew this would happen and I'm fine with it. I understand it. But then John actually hit me up with a good one, right? He hit me with, what was it? Revel? He said, it Revel the brand that he's like, is a high end neutral brand. And I'm like, and I liked that suggestion because he wasn't trying to suggest Revels. What he was trying to do was say, like it would really narrow down, it would probably enhance the NHTs a little bit, right? Because my experience, and we'll talk a little bit more about it with these SVS Ultras, is I'm like, these things are amazing. And if you heard me talking with John, it's not really a fault of the NHTs. It could be my age. It could be, you know, my hearing has changed and now I'm just hearing frequencies. My son and I had a great experience about it, a conversation about the experience, because he's hearing not as much of a difference, but he hears a little bit more of a difference, but maybe he can hear the higher frequencies better than I can. So the difference isn't as great to him. Plus he also admits he doesn't see the content like I do, but just the ideas. I'm entertained by all the ideas. I'm not trying to tell people not to send me suggestions, but what I'm trying to say is like it's the rare one that would get added, okay? Because it's just overwhelming.
it's at some point we've talked about this before. At some point you've got to just pay your money and make your choice, because otherwise you'll be doing this forever. Because then where does it stop? Because then if you've done your, as Blue Wave says in the chat there, if you've done 10 different types of speakers, then when do you do your 10 different types of Blu-ray players, 10 different types of projectors, 33 different types of seating? You'll never ever get to the end of it. You've got to just be regimented in your approach. And some might say, just tell people about it after you've done it.
And I thought of that, and I said, didn't I say that to John on Tuesday's show? I was like, I'm like, part of me was like, I shouldn't say anything, but how could I do that? Everybody know, like, what? All of a sudden one day, do you know how disappointing that would have been if I kept it quiet and like a year from now, hey everybody, I moved and this is my new theater? I'd be like, I wouldn't be surprised if people were angry. Because we're all going to go through that at some point or whatever. And this is about the experiences. And that's a huge experience for me to keep that a secret. That's crazy. That's crazy. So that, that's why. So you can't, but I take it. And that's how I get the great suggestions too. I think my theater is going to be better because of everybody,
But you have to limit it. You've got to. Otherwise, you'll never, ever get to the end of this.
Right.
This is the beauty, I suppose, of this hobby, this interest, this life experience, is there is infinite variety. That there is just, you can go forever. And so at some point,
you just go,
right, nope, there's my cutoff. There I am. This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. No problem setting your parameters and explaining why. The danger comes where you go, right, no. Tell me everything, and it'll never get to the end. And I'm sure I definitely know someone who is like that with everything. They're like it with buying a car. They're like it with choosing a job. They're like it with, they're just infinitely dithering.
Yeah.
You call it testing. I call it dithering. And at some point that should not be the reason to do it. The reason is to get to an end point. And so you've got to just put parameters on it. At some point, there's got to be a blinkered approach. Otherwise, that will be that. Sorry, Carl. I appreciate the word hobby. As soon as I said it, I wish I hadn't said it.
I can't see the comments right now. What did he say?
Home theater has never been a hobby for us. It's a complete lifestyle for us. That's what Carl is saying.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, that's a lifestyle is a good term. But I don't shy away from hobby either. because there's nothing wrong with, and I said that on the SVS, on SVS. I was like, because they're like, they didn't like the term hobby. And I was like, are you kidding me? I know I personally am very good friends with a guy that his hobby was cars and is cars, loves cars, right? Worked in a factory. I've told this before. He worked in an ice cream factory with me. He's a mechanic, but loved to tinker with cars. That was his hobby. It still is his hobby. He has since, because of his love of cars, has traveled the world because of cars, has been on multitude of those shows. You probably have seen him. His name's Tony. And he now is uprooted and living in Arizona, managing the personal collection of the second largest. And everybody, and if anybody knows, the first largest would be Jay Leno, second largest personal car collection in the country. And all he does is manage it. That's because of a hobby. Okay. He got hired because he was so good at his hobby and he loved his hobby so much that he got hired right at a car show to come in. And because the guy had seen him and he said, you know, it's like, I want you. The guy paid to have his whole family move to Arizona. There you go. And that's because of a hobby. So there's nothing wrong with a hobby. And Carl, sounds like his job, not a hobby. Want to bet? Because the guy's not working a day in his life. I just talked to him the other day. And he's, I won't tell you where he was, but it was in Arizona. And he was partying with some of the people that you'd be like, he's rubbing elbows with who? And I was like, are you kidding me? He absolutely loves it. And it's like, I wouldn't call it a job at all. I would call it a fantastic hobby that's paying him big bucks. So it's all in how you look at it, you know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't put down the word hobby at all.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I said it, though, I thought, actually, I'm not sure I look at it as a hobby either. It's too expensive to be a hobby. It's too all-consuming. Yeah, it's too all-consuming.
Cars?
Yeah,
well, the car that got him his most notoriety, he paid. It was a kit car. Okay, he paid for this kit car. He bought the engine for probably $3,500. The kit was like $7,500. Factory five Roadster kit. Do you know what that car sold for when he was done? Which I had to work on for him because he damaged it. Do you know what that car sold for when he was done?
Not do tell.
Over $100,000.
Yeah, see, that's not a hobby.
Yes, me,
that's
it is. Just,
that's a whole kind of...
But he had another job at the time. That was what he did in his garage. Yeah. That wasn't his job. Because of that, he got a job at Factory 5, working there. But then his hobby was at home. Yeah, I'm telling you. It's like, don't poo-poo the word hobby. You know? Patrick Reed Johnson, it was a hobby for him. He loved tinkering with movies. Steven Spielberg, all of these people, they love tinkering with this stuff, and then they turn it into their careers. I do not shy away from the word hobby, because hobbies are awesome.
Yeah, and I think Steven's kind of got it for me in the chat. He's put there, my model train is a hobby. This is just what I've always done, improving audio and then video and then audio again since I was 14 or 15 in the 1960s. Yeah, you see, I think some things lend themselves more to that word hobby than others. You know, model trains, collecting stamps.
Right.
Philatelist, I think they're known, isn't it? Yeah, I think that's right. You know, that kind of stuff. That seems to me to be like a hobby, whereas ours seems to be too all-consuming to just to be that word. Lifestyle, I think, works better. But we're talking semantics, and I'm always up to semantics. So,
exactly. I know. Exactly. So, but yeah, look at that. PK, nice job sparking a fantastic conversation for our hobby/lifestyle or lifestyle/hobby. All right. You ready for the next one, Steve?
Yep.
Clear the throat. Oh, sorry. Wrong button. There we go.
Okay, so we've got Blue Wave, who is in the chat. who says, hey guys, another great show. I just finished The Night Agent, which John wanted to talk about, over at Netflix, and I thought it was a good show. Think of it as Netflix's version of Jack Ryan. It looked excellent in 4K, and while not an audio showcase, I thought the audio stepped it up on the scenes that needed it and some good bass drops for some foreshadowing when things start to get dicey.
Nice.
Right, one more thing. I think Steve should start screening his potential clients and their fondness for high frame rate movies. If they like them, Steve gives them the boot. If not, Steve takes the case. Smiley face. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Most of my clients are, you know, they wouldn't know what HFR was if it swam up and bit them on the ass. So, yes, it would be an interesting thing. It would be nice to be able to screen them on along those lines. And yet it would appear that, you know, my views on HFR are perhaps the niche ones. I think most people seem to quite like it, but there we go. So, yes, it would be nice to be able to screen clients like that, but I don't think that would work.
No. all right. Let me see. I'll grab this next one. I got a few loaded here. Let's see. From John H. as earlier.
So this reference. Is the explanation for his $15 box of popcorn from earlier.
Oh, there you go. Okay. See? Yeah. We have it in the show. At Brightside HT, this is a tweet. At Brightside HT, just listened to the podcast. I donated a $15 box of popcorn to match, at least in number, not when converted, the 15
pounds
copy of Gemini Man at Legal Beagle purchased. That way, a similar amount can still go to a good cause at John Ciccone. also, Brightside, jail has to be a place where you watch your least favorite movies on a 20-inch tube TV with wonky color due to a magnet being placed on it too long and blown out speakers. I like it. What's your least favorite movie? Is it Midway?
No. Can you not? You should know. You must know. Think about it. My least favorite film. The one film that I've never been able to watch again, saw it in the cinema and suffer PTSD whenever I think about it.
Oh, I do know it too. Tell me what it is. You know me. I can't think Carrie Fisher.
The Fifth Element.
You are right. We just talked so much about Midway because of our history with it.
Yeah. I cannot, I will not, I shall not ever see that film again.
You know when you're going to do it?
Was enough.
We're going to raise a lot of money for charity just to get you to watch that.
If someone wants to make a donation to charity, I would do that.
That's where this podcast is going, I'm telling you.
But they are going to have to pay some therapy bills afterwards to get through the PTSD. That bloody great blue singing alien thing and Chris Rock. Not Chris Rock, Chris Tucker. Sorry, Chris Tucker. Just enough to just drive me to absolute distraction.
You've never seen it in your theater, right?
I've never seen it since the cinema. I saw it on its opening day, believing it was it was going to be Luc Besson, the director of The Professional, or we call it Leon, we call it here. And, it's going to be his version of Star Wars. It's got Bruce Willis in it. It's going to be amazing. And then I saw it. And I'm never going to see it again unless, as I said, unless someone is paying. Otherwise, there's not a chance, not a hope in hell. Yeah. I hated that film.
Tell me
one that you would, other than Malignant. What about
Judge
you?
Dredd. Judge Dredd.
Of course. Judge Dredd. Yes. Yep. Yeah, you took it back.
Yep. I watched the whole thing, but then took it back.
Yeah.
I was like, that's absolutely awful. I cannot have that in my collection. No. But I am with you with Fifth Element in that I never, and there's some people in the chat that never understood fascination with it. But Steven is in my camp as well. And this is what Steven says. He goes, I rewatched Fifth Element a few months ago after getting my dual SVS PB2000s, and it was a new experience. And I would like to add to that when I sat down to watch this, I reviewed it for the show. If you look back on the website, you can find it. My review on it. And when I put it in, I was like, I owned it, but I was like, okay, let's see. I'm not super excited about the movie, but now I am. Audibly, it is a reference disc, and visually, it is a reference disc. It is absolutely insane. And the movie is insane, and when you experience it in your theater, it actually helps make the movie better. You're like, you actually understand the movie a little bit more. Like you said, like the Chris Tucker character, so over the top, flamboyant. It's so fantastic. And then there's some stage scenes where you're actually in that auditorium, the sound of your room. I am very excited to someday, you know, we're going to raise some money for a charity and get you to watch that. Just for that. And I think you'll feel the same way, because you do love a good experience. And this, I think this is another one of those that's like, it really needs to be experienced in the in a proper theater. And you probably didn't get a very good one at the theater. There's no way. No theater, especially back then, could give you the experience. So
yeah, I saw it in a small theater on the Odeon in Bristol. And it was an old school theater. It was not good even then. It wasn't even good in the 90s, let alone now. Yeah. But I mean, Carl, the word hate is not a word that I would normally use for most things. But for this film, I hate that film. I hated every second of it. At least that's how I remember it, although, of course, it's getting on a while ago.
Right.
Yeah, if we're going to Gemini Man this thing, and there's going to be some sort of, you know, donation to charity to watch it, I'll subject myself to it again if I have to.
Steven, how many boxes, popcorn boxes, will it take to get Steve to see it?
Well, I don't know if there's enough popcorn in the world.
There is the, and speaking of which, just to let everybody know, there is a, let's see. where did it go? Oh. Huh. Hang on a second. There we go. Boom. There we go. There is a, so you can buy $5 for a small box. You can buy $10 for a medium, or you can buy a large and you get to choose the amount. So that's the boxes right there. See that one right there. We'll get you. And you can also go, and this is all at our website for people that don't know, Patreon, Brightside Home. Actually, this is brightsidehometheater.com with all the links. And then, like I said before, look at that. There's all our shows, our latest episode, our old featured theaters. Steve's is in there.
Yeah, number one.
And there's me. I'm going to have to add Steve and John as well. But, but yeah. Yeah, you were the first. You weren't the first one. Nelson was, I thought. You were the first one. Nelson was the first. Featured theaters. Let's click on. Oh, that's a great website. Look at that. Well, they're there.
I was the very first one on there. I can even remember where I was when I heard the podcast that you asked to have the have it done, because I was on the treadmill. I slowed the treadmill down to send you the photos.
Okay.
I didn't come off the treadmill. I carried on and just slowed it down, sent you them, and then carried on again.
Let's see if so. Oh, there we go. And there's the, you can go back and find, and there is a search button too. You can search in. Let me search it this way.
Yeah, Cinema George. Yeah, see what's there.
Let's just see.
It is the first one, I swear.
We'll see.
Because it's linked on my, there it is. That's the one, there we go. Number one. Look at that.
Yep. Featured on Brightside Home. Yeah, and it was featured on the 48th podcast, number 48. So there it is. Look at that. John's in here too. John's in here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, that's going back a while. God, that collection's quite a bit bigger now.
Yeah.
That's right along to the other end now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that. There we go.
That's before the PS5 was in. There we go. There's the PS5.
Yeah, no, PS5 is in right there.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
No junior mitts.
No. And there aren't at the moment either. They've all been eaten.
There's the thermal detonator.
Oh, yeah.
Not as fancy as mine. There we go. Very nice.
The Army of the Dark.
Yeah, Army of the Dead. We did Ooh, that. There's the Junior Mints. You added those. You added. I think that. What does it say? Junior Mints. And picture added 5/31/21. Wow, that was a while ago. Look at that.
There we go.
Yeah. There we go. So yeah, and some comments from people back in the day. So yeah, you could go and check all that out.
Yeah, it's all there.
All right. all right. That was John. So great. We're moving along here, kind of. Let's try this one. Want to read that one?
Yeah. So this is Terry Noonan. He's new, isn't he? Not had a comment from him before, I don't think.
Nope.
So that's so yeah, hi Terry. So this is a comment on the again, the recorded version of the live show last Friday. So this is the in theater review of the SVS Ultra Bookshelves. And it says, although not here, I must say, Deej, your takeover show with Paul Hurt was the best yet. Compelling and excellent audio. Just saying, and hi from Ireland. P.S. apart from the one that Steve George did. So it's fine. It's all, oh, sorry. I may have added that last bit. So yes, otherwise takeover Tuesday with Paul Hurt. Very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, that was a lot of fun. I have a hard time saying any one takeover Tuesday is better than another because I feel bad.
Company excluded.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Steve, you were the best.
Oh,
I was just gonna say something. I won't. Not on air. Not on air. No, that wouldn't be fair. No, I just, because here's the thing is what I find interesting is like, I love the comments from people after every Takeover Tuesday. And it's like when people, there's always somebody that it's going to relate to. Right. And that's something I hadn't foreseen. I was just, you know, we do this stuff and you know how I work more than ever, Steve. It's like, I don't do stuff planned out. I just like, let's do this. Okay. See what happens. And then after the fact you go, oh wow, look at the benefits of it, you know? And it's just I love the idea of it's like the diversity, but it's not how much it actually shows the diversity of everything that we do. Like we were talking earlier about the different speakers, but it also shows how many similarities we have. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then, I mean, and Paul and I, oh my God, all of the similarities, but then there are differences as well, you know? Ooh. So it's, and then I think that's what's fun for people is you get to hear from different people around the world and how much, you know, we all have in common and the quote unquote struggles we have with home theater. And I think what really is, it's the biggest struggle is finding other people that like home theater is by far is the biggest struggle we have. Right. And I mean, so yeah. All right. Let's see, but yes, thank you. Enjoyed all of the Takeover Tuesdays. Wait till next week's another big special show coming up next Tuesday. Really excited for you guys to hear this one. I'll let you hear it and then it'll be a fun surprise for people. So, all right. Look at this one. This is fantastic. So we talked about this, what, a couple weeks ago, Steve? Was it last week? Two weeks ago?
2 weeks, I think. 2 weeks.
Why don't you read it?
Okay, so this is from quickly becoming friend of the show, Jack Lee, all the way from Adelaide, I think it is, in Australia. And it's a tweet that he sent all of us. He tagged Brightside at Brightside HT, at Legal Beagle OK, and at, well, John's old Twitter handle. But he was tweeting at John and saying, here is your answer about underground concrete driver. Literally deliver spray on concrete in an underground mine. And that truck holds 10 cubes of concrete and it's 52 tons loaded. Also, my surname was pronounced Lee, like the jeans.
And I must have been saying pictures. Leah.
I think I probably did as well. Yeah. And he sent us some pictures. So, very cool. This was because he'd said that he listens to the podcasts all in one go. And whilst as an underground concrete driver, which got our imaginations fired up, and we didn't know whether that meant.
Yeah, so here's a bigger version of them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It does look like Die Hard 3, though, doesn't it?
It does. It's like, yeah, Die Hard with a vengeance. And it's like, yeah. I mean, it really does. It's like, and just the tunnel itself, too. Yep. I mean, he's, it, I couldn't resist Steve with my reply. You replied before I did. And I'm like, come on, Steve, you're going to leave that on the table? You've been down there. I was like,
you really are down under.
I know, you really are down under. Sorry, couldn't resist. Jack Lee. And then there's Jack, which there I thought was great. Look at him. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's a proper job, isn't it? You know, whatever we might call, you might talk about hobbies.
That jobs. Is not a hobby.
That's a job. That is a job. Yeah.
That is a job. And it's like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I showed my wife these pictures and I'm like, get a little emotional. This guy's driving literally underground and he's downloading and taking us down there. And you're like, are you kidding me? It's like, I'm like,
it's easy to become kind of inured to the fact that we talk, you know, we send our voices out into the ether. And I think it, and even though we know we've got listeners in India and viewers in India and obviously all over America, we've got one in New Zealand, we've got, you know, we know we've got these people and Australia as well, of course. And yet it's easy to send it out and kind of become inured to that and forget just what really, where our voices travel to. And it's fascinating to let your mind kind of wander with that sometimes. And this is why Jack sending these was very cool, because the thought of kind of our voices penetrating through the darkness as he's doing this is just, it's mind blowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. And these are just the people that contact us. And as you said before, there's only a certain very small percentage of people that listen that would make contact. So where else is it going?
I know.
I think it's like the start of contact. You know, I think it's just going out into the galaxy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
People on Venus that are really big fans.
Well, yeah. And it's, and that's what's fun to think about. Like you said, people show up here in the chat on the stream and people, you know, we get new comments on YouTube all the time and you're like, oh, there's a name I haven't heard before. Or maybe you did, but you just didn't register, but now it is. And it's fun. It's fun. It's fun. Oops. It's fun to watch it grow, you know, and, yeah, it's a blast, and it's very humbling. I've said that a million times, but it really is. It's crazy.
That's so great. But anyone that wants to see those pictures, if you're listening via to the audio version, then you can either find it on our Twitter feed or have a little look at it on YouTube and see these pictures, because this machinery is some serious kit.
It's at first I was like that green. I thought that was part of it, but it's not. That must be the air filtration, the ventilation.
Yeah.
It's like, look at that truck,
Although
I don't imagine there's a lot of traffic, though, right?
No, but I'm just saying, look at the state of those bumpers, Deej. I think you've got some work to do on those.
Believe it or not, I've done work on vehicles like that. I have.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's funny. They'll get a bad scuff or something like that they just don't want. And you believe there's owners of companies that are that'll have equipment like this, and they're just as, you know, anal about their stuff as you, right? And they'll be like, really? I can't have this. And they don't let it build up. And that sometimes they'll do it themselves. Like you just buy that color paint and they'll just do it themselves. But then there was one guy that I knew years and years ago that just wanted, and a lot of times when you own a company that owns vehicles like this, they have the money and they're just like, yeah, I'll give you some money. They it's kind of like supporting me. Oh, I'll keep you busy. Okay. Thank you very much. it's crazy. Yeah. So
I just noticed there's a little map of Australia in the middle there as well on the right hand side. Can you see that above the bumper?
Oh, yeah.
The silhouette of Australia. I just realized that's there.
Yeah. I wonder if is it on the other side? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's on both sides. Yeah.
Very cool.
So if you're ever driving down the road and you see HV515, say hi to Jack.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, hi. I'm sorry, driving under the road.
Yes. Yeah. And in which case you're probably very drunk. How the hell did you end up there in the first place?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Great stuff. Super cool. So All right. Let's go. I want to read Van Gool's and I'll.
Yeah. Okay. So this was another response to the recorded podcast put out on, show put out on last Friday. And this is Van Gool who replied and said, "I am a Trekkie and like Generations and First Contact more." That's Star Trek movies. "Insurrection to us is not that good and Nemesis is better. I saw it in the theater and enjoy the story." So yeah, I think you guys were talking about the dip in quality. It's the odd and even numbers, isn't it? So I'm told. I can't say I've seen them, yeah, people say how it goes. I know some are better than others.
Hang on, I had an issue here. Cancel. I've seen them all. I watched them all as they came out. I'm not one to judge them because I'm not a huge Trekkie fan. So yeah. I'm just like, okay. I'm like that. They're entertaining to me, but I don't really get into them. I do like the home theater experience of them. I'll be interested to hear how these play out. And then, it'll be at some point, I'm sure I'll watch them all in my theater, especially if I hear good things about, like, oh, you got to see this scene here, I'm like, okay.
Still, for me, Star Trek Into Darkness is is one of my go-to demo sequences. That is awesome. I do like the J.J. Abrams ones. Those first two are really good. The third one's perhaps not quite as good, but it's still good. Those two for demo material, especially the opening of Into Darkness, is just another level. Really, really good. There we go. That's my knowledge of Star Trek depleted. There you go.
Hey, that's all we need. All right. Let's see. Here we go. Graham Cole with A-B testing. Love this A-B testing you got going on. What you are doing in the podcast is a great example of what AV enthusiasts can do when choosing speakers and doing auditions, provided that the manufacturers are okay with return shipping. But my question is, have you considered doing sweeps the Rob H way so you can hear panning, soundstage, and find any holes, dips, or even cancellations in the response? I know you have content that you know very well, but I'm just curious. Thanks, Graham. No, I don't do sweeps anymore. And this to me it falls under I think it was Mikey Schramm asked about room EQ or stuff, whatever it was, but I can't remember what it was. But when we started out, and if John was here, he'd be like, yep, we did all of this stuff back then. I ran sweeps. Because that's how you used to have to calibrate your room, is running these things. I don't do those anymore.
What are sweeps?
So sweeps are, you'll run frequencies and listen for, like, so if a certain frequency is supposed to be playing right now, you can run them for seating positions. You can run them for, and you'll run them from speakers, or so say you'll feel a lull in a certain frequency range, and it's basically like doing, I just thought of the best example. You ever done a hearing test? And they'll go raise your hand when you hear that, and it'll tell you the frequencies. So it's kind of like that. They'll play a certain frequency in your room, and you'll see how consistent it is or isn't in your room. There's a multitude of reasons you can do it. You can have the whole room play for a sweep. You can have each speaker play a sweep. You can have sweeps go from front to rear and see where the gaps are in those things. It's very, very technical. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that I found over the years is you'll work really hard at getting things like, I'm off a little bit here. And when you've done enough of them, as I have, I don't feel the benefit in it anymore. And it hasn't really improved my sound. And because to me, and what I like to bring to this podcast is, I like the idea that a lot of them, we deal a lot more in emotion in a specific scene. If you watch a movie from beginning to end, you have waves, sweeps of emotion throughout that movie that a lot of times what you'll find is when you go back and watch this scene that blew you away, you were near tears because the sound was so good and the picture looked so good. And you're like, I can't wait to get back. And you go back to it and go, what was I looking for? And it's because you get wrapped up in that movie that you'll hear. When we get all technical, and I'm not saying don't do it. If you've never done sweeps, you don't know what sweeps are, and you want to absolutely do it. It's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to learn because you'll learn a lot more about your system. You'll learn a lot more about your room, how to improve your room. But in my opinion, there's also nothing wrong nowadays with going with your Dirac or your Odyssey or whatever you want to run with, letting it set your room up and going with that and then enjoying all the content. And as Graham says here, he's like, I know you have you have content you know very well. And I do. And that's what I base my stuff off of now, because that to me is that's what I know. You know, and it's like to run sweeps and do all of that stuff. It's like I may in my new room, I probably will run sweeps in my new room because it's going to be a new room, but I'll do it once and be done. And then I'm just going to be like, is this better, worse? How do I get it? What if it's worse than the existing room I have? Uh-oh. How do I get it to sound as good as that one? Right. So, yeah. But I think that'll probably be the next time I run sweeps. It would be in the new room. But again, I'm not opposed to them. I just don't do them anymore. I've done enough. So, but it's a great question. Great question. And I think this is the last one, if you want to read that.
Yeah. So this is a home theater experience. So from Steve, not me. That looks to be an email, and it says, just finished watching The Legend of Hercules 2014 in 4K Atmos. It rocked the place. Good bass and lots of immersive action. Hercules returning home battle sequence is a good example at 1:21 and 4 seconds in a thunderstorm to 1:23:45. Now, is this the animated one?
I don't know.
Or are we talking about the one, The Rock? Hercules.
Was he in Hercules? Was that him?
Oh no, sorry, Jason. Oh no, he was Conan, wasn't he? So The Rock was, wasn't he?
The Rock was.
Yeah,
he was. I haven't seen that, but I want to now.
I'll tell you what. It was. So the live action Hercules. Steven says it's the live action one. Is that the one with The Rock then? No, Rock older version. Okay, now I'm curious. Right. Legend of Hercules.
I'm pulling it up right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in 4K in this Hercules, unless I spelled it wrong. Oh, The Legend of, right?
Yeah.
Legend.
Oh, no. Okay. Whoa. No, this is someone else as well. Kellen Lutz as Hercules. Yeah. Scott
in 4K? Atkins. What did he?
It's got a 22 Metacritic score out of 100.
Oh, so geez. I suspect
that may be why we haven't seen it.
Oh. I'm looking on Blu-ray.com right now for it, and I don't see. Am I not spelling it correctly?
I've only found it on IMDb. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. The Rock did one. The Rock definitely played Hercules, but I think that was, what year was that then? Let's have a look.
Yeah.
The show comes to a stop whilst we just disappear down a rabbit hole. Yeah. No. Yeah. Hercules. Dwayne Johnson did Hercules in 2014. I thought so. And that one's got 47.
Oh, well, there you go. That's
twice as good. Yeah. I wonder if that's the one he meant, because I can't imagine a kind of...
Oh, here it is. Yeah, The Legend of Hercules. You can buy it 4K and...
Hold music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, please hold. Yeah. Let me see. Move it up like this. Boom, boom, boom. The Legend of Hercules, 4K and 3D Blu-ray. It's on sale right now on Amazon for $21.58. And it's and it I'm trying to pull it
Steve says that's a 4K and 3D combo. That must be the one he means then.
Yeah, so this, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. That's the one. Yep.
So there it is on Blu-ray.com. It's in Dolby Atmos 4K, upscaled 4K, HDR10. And let's pull that up. Yeah.
There we go. Okay, right. And there we go.
That looks like, who is that? That's, what's his name? Played Terminator, no?
No. It's a something Lutz or something. Sorry, I just looked it up.
Starring Kellan Lutz.
That's him.
Gala Weiss, Scott Adkins, Kellan Lutz. Hmm. Oh, there he is. Oh, okay. What else has he done? Anything good?
No, not like it.
Yeah. I meant to say anything I know. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well. Sorry, to Kellan. Be fair, the Rock version isn't that great either. So,
yeah.
You know, and I've got the 3D version of that too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. Well, that was, that was from Steve. So
yeah,
it looks, the cover art looks great. Everything like, and he's saying it rocked. So I'll have to check it out. See if what it has on, Kaleidoscape, if it's available. I'll have to check that out, but we've done enough with that. All right. We ready to get to our 4K releases for this week?
Yeah. Yep.
All righty then, let me get to that opening right there. There we go. All right, first up, we have Flashdance 4K release coming April 11th. That's a nice cover.
Yes, yeah. I won't be picking this one up, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I think I've seen it, but it's not, you know, it's not something that I'd watch, I don't think.
Oh my God. So,
how about
do I tell the story?
Go on.
1983, this came out. Okay. I was 13 years old.
Okay. I think, okay, I know where this is going.
And look at that cover.
Yes.
All right. You know the song? Who sang the Flashdance song? Your passion, take your passion.
Take
your passion. The line is take your passion and make it happen.
Yeah.
13 years old, singing you're away both. Every time I heard it. Take your pants down and make it happen. Next time you hear that, listen. It sounds exact, and that's what she was doing. I never saw. My parents would never let me see this movie. So at 13 years old, so I'm like, we didn't have lyrics back in the day. You didn't. There was no internet to go look it up. So I'm like, but next time you hear that song, tell me that's not what they're saying.
Right. Like Carl's reaction in chat, he's just put oy vey.
Of course he does. He says that to everything I say. I think he has one button just to say oy vey. It's already there. But yeah, that was it. But they have another. They have a Steelbook cover.
Okay.
I don't like that one as much.
That's more Basic Instinct than Flashdance.
Yeah. It's
I mean, it's a classic film. It is of its time, but I would put, it's like the kind of the same year as Fame, wasn't it? Same sort of thing. It's kind of a dance type.
Yes,
thing.
Yes, yeah. It was. It all came around that time with, you know, I mean, you had John Travolta and Staying Alive and, you know, Saturday Night Fever and all. And this was one of the later ones, obviously, coming in 83. But yeah, that genre. But doesn't this one feel like she should have the leggings on, the leg warmers? You remember the leg warmer craze, which was brought on by this? I feel like she should have those on here. And then, I mean, because this one, you don't want to put leg warmers on that. No way.
They just get soggy.
Yeah. Okie dokie. All right. It's a good thing John isn't here for this one. We would be spending way too much time on these. All right. We also have The Fisher King. So
I've never seen it.
That's it. That's it. That's coming. Robin Williams, Jeff Bridges. You haven't seen
Oscar winning? The Fisher King was Oscar. Was it Oscar winning, wasn't it? I think it was.
I'm trying to think. I'm looking. Did it? I'm bringing it up here, see if it says anything.
I thought it did. I've not seen it. In fact, I don't even know what it's about.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I must have seen it.
No, it's, I don't remember that one as well. But I it's not a home theater movie, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't.
By any stretch. But I love Robin Williams, Jeff Bridges, and so.
Terry Gilliam, yeah.
But, yeah, so that is it. We have two movies coming out. Just to recap, we have The Fisher King and Flashdance. So just want to let everybody know. Flashdance.
Just any excuse to put that back up. But to be fair, it's quite good to have a quieter week next week. It's been such a crazy few weeks for releases. It's
bananas. I know. And I got to make all these graphics.
we get next week, we get the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 4K redone, which you guys have had for a few weeks. And then I think that's it for next week. And then the week after, we then get All Quiet on the Western Front. So, which will be nice because you guys have already got it. Have you bought that yet?
All Quiet on the Western Front? Mm. No, I haven't. Okay, I heard. Surprised. Yeah. I heard there was a big run on it. And like we were talking about last week, we were saying it's getting tough to get. So I'm like, I am honestly in no hurry to, I will get it, but I've got so much going on. The odds of me sitting down to watch it, I don't need to get it. I'll let somebody else have my copy for now. And to be fair, I'm trying to wait to see if it's going to pop in on Kaleidoscape too, which how is that not? I mean, that is.
It's a strange one, isn't it? It is strange. That suggests that it's a small studio that's releasing it. And for some reason, they don't have a deal in place with Kaleidoscape yet. But it's a matter of time. They're going to start releasing movies like this.
They got to get that. And I mean, obviously, Kaleidoscape is getting, they're doing more with, what is it, Paramount? We had that discussion today because we were talking, or we'll talk in a little bit because we're getting more movies and shows. We said it last week, you know, movies and shows are showing up on Kaleidoscape. Streaming stuff, I'm sorry, not just movies and shows, but streaming only content more and more showing up on Kaleidoscape, which, as we said last week, lends to a lot of the stuff that we were saying weeks ago with the information you were hearing. So that's it only, I mean, that's great for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So really, really excited for that because if we're getting it early on Kaleidoscape, eventually they're not just going to tap into that. You know, that's about a niche of a niche, right?
Yeah.
It's like, might as well put it out on Laserdisc too. Like, there you go.
Pop-up book.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of pop-up book.
You're entirely too attached to that cover image.
Yeah. Hey, it's, I'm in the art world, my friend. So are you ready? You know what we should do? We haven't done yet, but we can just randomly show it right now. We'll do it right now.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Ovaltine?
Did you hear that, everybody? That's it, right
drink
there.
Drink your Ovaltine. And Ovaltine?
Ovaltine? That is the word. The word for the sofa baton. Thank you to John for that one. That was his idea to come up with words and codes. And he had, I think that was the first one he said, right? We have the other one for next week.
Yeah.
And then we can't give it away now, Steve. No, we have the one for next week, which is another great one. But this one I thought would be good to lead off with because it was the code from that movie. So Ovaltine, email me the word Ovaltine. And yes, you'll get a raffle ticket for the sofa baton. If you're in the green room, you'll get 5 raffle tickets and all that other stuff. So just email DJ@brightsidehometheater.com and we'll get that stuff going. So that's it. Ovaltine. Let's hear you say it. Oh, he mutes them.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm trying to
see, we rehearsed that and rehearsed that, and it just, you know, we dropped the ball.
Yeah, I am Steve Manflew George. It's only right.
Right.
Yeah, Ovaltine. Ovaltine stuff. Yeah.
Ovaltine.
Carl is saying that's nasty stuff. I think Ovaltine's quite nice. It's like just a hot chocolate from what I remember.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's what it is. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah.
Oh, well. You can't please everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah, quite.
All right. Don't we know it, Steve? All right. You ready to get to this week's Real HT Experiences?
Oh, yes.
Wonder how John's doing. Of course, my buddy Craig. He always calls me when we're podcasting. So, okay. Just checking to see if John is available, and he isn't saying boo. So, all right. So let's get to this week's HT Experiences. All right. First up, we'll go with, I'm just going to throw it up on the screen here. I believe this is yours, correct?
Yep.
Let's go.
So, okay. Now, what is nice is getting to this part of the show and having loads of time to talk about all these things. So that's quite good.
Yeah.
Normally we're up against it by now.
I know.
So it's quite good. Okay. So I'm very, very late to the party with this one.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, then you're later than me.
It's right.
But now, the reason is because I'm sorry, those that are listening rather than watching, this is Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw from 2019, if I remember rightly, or then around about that time. Now, I have a complicated history with the Fast and the Furious films. I really like the first one, and I really don't like any of the others, because I just think they got progressively more stupid and they've embraced the stupidity. And I just don't like them. And I've tried to watch them and it just isn't good. First one is brilliant and I've got that in 4K. The others, no. So this one was, I bought this, with some trepidation because of the Rock season that I've been going through with a member of my family. And I thought, well, this is one that, you know, they might quite like. So I thought, well, I'll pick this up, which I did. And I watched it and quickly realized that it wouldn't be suitable for the member of the family. So I've ended up watching it sort of with someone else. I rather enjoyed it. It's actually quite fun. It is very silly. It's very stupid.
It's Fast and the Furious. Well, they're all silly.
Well, they are, but of course the Fast and the Furious main movies, you've got Vin Diesel, who clearly takes things very seriously, and he, you know, it's all about family and all that sort of stuff, and he does seem to hold on a little bit too tight to those films. Whereas this movie knows exactly what it is. You've got, I mean, look, Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson are having a ball in this. You know, they're constantly taking the mickey out of each other. They're constantly using stupid nicknames for one another. And it was actually really good fun. And it's got Idris Elba as the bad guy. Again, it's ridiculous. It's very silly, but it's fun. And we had a really good time with this as a movie. So that's a good start. We're off to the races, as it were. But the home theater experience on this disc is very nice indeed. The it's been shot digitally. It looks gorgeous. You know, the 4K and the HDR in this is transformative. This cannot be watched on Blu-ray. It's got to be seen in 4K. You know, when ultra HD Blu-ray, want to call it that. It's really, really nice. It looks great. And then the audio is excellent as well. Is every bit as bass heavy, over the top as you'd want it to be. So I had a really, really good time with this, and I had much, much better than I thought I would. DJ, and you'll love it. You will absolutely love it because you'll embrace the experience, but also the silliness of the story. Yeah. You will really, really enjoy this. And this is definitely, it will be on Kaleidoscape for sure. So this will be one to
oh, yeah, I have it. I already own it.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course.
How many times?
Uh, 17. Twice. I have it on disc and on Kaleidoscape.
Yeah.
And I just haven't seen it. I'm sorry. Well, I probably own it on Blu-ray as well. If it came out in on Blu-ray first. I probably have that because my son wanted to go through them all. Him and his buddy, him and his buddy wanted to binge a bunch of Fast and Furiouses years ago. And I was like, all right, just grab them. Boom, boom, boom. And then I'm like, oh, this is wrong. I need the 4K of this. So I at least own it twice. So,
but it is good. It is way better than I thought it would be. So I recommend this for a home theater experience and just as a movie, as long as you're in the mood for something dopey. And if you you'll have a good time with it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm sitting down with you, buddy.
Well,
oh, come on. I couldn't leave that one hanging.
Yeah. Also, there are some fun cameos as well. There are a couple of people that are unexpected and are fun. So, nice. And also just anyone that is watching it that hasn't seen it, there are about 400 end credit sequences. So keep watching. I swear there's like another 25 minutes during the credits. There are multiple credit scenes. I ran out of numbers, stopped counting them.
That would be fun. That was one of the, I don't have that benefit with my Kaleidoscape, but what the Kaleidoscape does is those are all flagged. So like when the movie ends, your lights come up. Okay. If you have a lighting system that's compatible.
Yeah.
And so the lights come up, but then if there's an end credit scene and you let it keep playing, the lights will go down. And then they'll come up, and then they'll go down. Oh, they'll come up, and then they'll go down. So I'm like, I can't wait. I'll have to play this one if I ever get that lighting system that is able to take advantage of it.
It might bring on some sort of epileptic fit, though. It'll be like a strobe effect. There are so many of them. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, it's good. Yeah, I do recommend it. I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah, it's fun.
One of my best friends had an epileptic issue at a movie because of that. Ooh. And he didn't know he had that kind of issue. He went to the movies with him and his wife, and all of a sudden he just went right into a seizure. Wow. And we were like, we didn't know you could do that. Like, or you could do that, but he didn't know it was an issue for him. So, you know, like they'll have disclaimers. And so this was years ago too.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, but it was like, I can't remember the movie. It was pretty funny. So now when we see movies, we're like, oh, he can't see that. You know, but can you imagine like you don't know and you're just out with your wife on a, you know, date night, go to a movie and dinner, and there you are in the emergency room. Like, what happened?
Yeah. What happened at the end? Who was the killer? It's scary though. Have you seen it? Ever seen it happen? You actually seen someone
a seizure?
Yeah. It's scary. Horrible, it is.
Yeah. Especially if you don't know what it is, it's definitely scary.
Yeah.
It's definitely scary. So.
There we go. This one will bring that on.
Yeah, this one will bring that on. All right.
Yeah.
All right. The next one, we can chat about this a little bit because I'm dying to hear your thoughts.
Mm. Yeah. Well, our present has caught up with your future because you had episode 5 you'd seen last week somehow.
I told you.
Right, so
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, because you've had 2 weeks to let it settle, so you can tell us what you thought of it.
Well, this is why I wanted to hear from you, especially because this episode, home theater wise, I'll start there.
Okay.
This is another one of the episodes from the season that I absolutely love home theater wise. Mm. There's some great, I was watching it with my son and we had a great conversation right after this ended, and it was about Mandalorian. It was about you, Steve. It was about me, my son, and like our memories and stuff like that. And what I said to him, like, oh, I wish I had a memory like you. And my son looks at me and he goes, you have a fantastic memory. And I was like, not like you. And I mentioned you, Steve, and John. I said, you guys remember like names and people and directors and stuff. And he goes, but you remember all of this other stuff. So one of the things in this show, and I go, and it came up in this show, is that I go, while you guys are remembering all that stuff, I'm looking all over. All the time in this, you know, first run with this. And I'm looking, that scene, I go, did you notice when they were in the ship? And like, you could see in the background, the colors that they, and I said it out loud to him. I go, look at the colors that they have flat, like blooming across the screen and stuff. The HDR that they use. I go, this is one of the best looking streams on Disney Plus that I have seen yet. And I keep going back and watching other stuff to see, maybe it's just, did I bump my system up or something? I don't know. No, it is. It's that good. It, things are improving. You know, the streams are getting better. And this was one of them. And that's what I said to my son. I go, while you guys are worried about, not worried, but paying attention to certain things, I'm paying attention to these minute details off in the distance that really pull me in. But again, this was much like the conversation we had earlier about the chase scene and everything. And you're like, doesn't that mean like it's pulling you up? No, I'm still invested in the story. But what now, let's get to that story. This is that episode that took almost every episode from the season so far and put up, and it wove them all together and made you go. And what I love about that is I'm right. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what I love about it. What I love about it is that's what people have been asking for, this, like, show us a bigger world. Let's get out of, you know, Luke Skywalker. Let's get out of the Skywalker saga. Show us what's going on in the rest of the world. And they literally pulled the rug out from under everybody by going, we're going to give them exactly what they want. And we did. We felt disjointed. Like they gave us four puzzle pieces and we went, this isn't even all to the same puzzle. What are we doing here? And then in one episode, they went, oh crap. They just gave us what we want. They showed you how big this galaxy is and how much the Empire is into everything and how it plays out to the future. Because this is in the middle. This is between the Skywalker saga, which is like, well, the Luke saga, and then the end, the last trilogy. This falls in between, right?
Yeah.
This links them. This answers, I saw one on Twitter about, it was Poe Dameron saying, you know, in Rise of Skywalker, there was somebody wrote, show me your, you know, like a, you're a horrible, you're a bad storyteller without telling me you're a bad storyteller or whatever. And it's the line where Poe Dameron goes, well, somehow the Emperor is still alive. And that was the line in Rise of Skywalker, like, well, that's all they gave us. We don't know why. We don't know how. Do you know how long of a movie that would be if they told you all that? It's like, that was enough. This movie's about this part, right? Here we go. They're giving it to us. They're giving, not maybe not that story, but all those little nuggets that we always wanted to know about. Like, how do they get the Death Star plans? We get Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
Here's Mandalorian. It's doing Rogue One. Episode 5 is the Rogue One for season 3, right? It just went, oh man. And I love it. And not to mention, it's a home theater experience that you got to watch a couple times. And I have. I love it. So, Steve?
I agree. I've been quite down on this series. So in terms of the story, I have been quite down on it. And last week I was certainly saying I'm losing the faith a bit. And there'd been a couple of weaker episodes 3 and 4 were pretty disjointed and odd. And we hoped it was going somewhere, but I really enjoyed this episode. This was, and again, I was thinking about you as I was watching it thinking, yeah, do you know what? This is exactly as DJ said, it's bringing everything together. I thought it was a fun episode. I did enjoy it. And it was good. And we got some decent action and we got some, you know, proper set pieces that were interesting and made sense. So that was really good. Yeah. I would definitely enjoyed this. Now I didn't watch it in the cinema room because again, I've become so disenfranchised with it. I watched it in my front room. So only on a 46 inch screen and it's a, you know, not very special and only stereo sound, but I will rewatch this episode. This is probably the only episode of this season that I think I would go back and watch again and make a special appointment to review it. And so, yeah, good, but this was good. And I'm now much more interested to see what happens tomorrow, you know, obviously with the new, this being Tuesday. So there's a meeting out tomorrow. So yeah, it's brought me back into the fold a little bit more, this one. So yeah, much better, much better. So yeah, looking forward to where it now goes. They are certainly talking about cloning, and they're certainly talking about, you know, Moff Gideon and kind of what's going on. I did like the kind of the stuff, the political stuff on Coruscant, you know, trying to get them to come and, you know, work and sort these issues out. I thought that was quite well done, although I'm still not quite sure what the sort of the female kind of ex-Empire person's doing other than just looking shifty. She just kind of looks a bit, looks a bit bad. Right. And that's about it. So she's a little bit underserved at the moment as a character, but I'm no doubt that they've got plans for her, haven't they? So you know, something will happen with her. But at the moment, she's a little bit underserved. But yeah, it's good. I do like how they keep bringing back that rebel pilot. By the way, I like how he just keeps recurring, doesn't he?
Yes.
So fair play to him.
Yeah, yeah. And there was one scene where they showed the X-Wing, and I know they had already showed him, and that the scene was to show him traveling, but I can't help, every time I see that, I'm like, oh, is that Red 5? Is that Luke? Is that him? I'm like, is he going to be in this episode
we've
too?
We've been spoiled.
Yeah, but it was literally, he was just having a conversation telling you he's going to go someplace. And then the next scene, they cut away to his to an X-Wing flying. And I'm like, is that Luke? Oh, you dummy. But you're just so excited about it. You're like, ah.
Hey, I can't criticize. I thought GB Afterlife was referring to an English sort of, you know, drama. So I'm not criticizing you at all.
I love it. Oh, all right. So yeah, I mean, next week we'll talk about it again, and you know, hopefully John will be here then. But yeah, loving Mandalorian even more now. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say is I think this is the episode that is going to make it, like, if you're not watching it yet and you're waiting to binge it and you've heard bad things, this is the one that's like, oh my God, binging this is going to be great, because you're going to be like, what's going on? Oh man, bam. You know, you're 4 hours into this or whatever, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that was great. And then you'll go on for the rest of this season. But I love that they're taking they took Boba Fett, created a history around that, created a race, really. Or it's more like a religion, really, right?
Yeah, and creed, a race too. It's a bit of both, isn't it?
I guess that's kind of it's kind of the way I think. And dare I get? I mean, isn't that like what like Jewish is both a race and a religion? Correct? One of the one? It's
the
you know
Hebrew is the sort of the is the yeah. Kind of the
so race it's kind of
the religion, I think. But yeah, I'm not a theologian. So I'm not about to stray into that minefield.
No, you see a lot of similarities here between religion. There throughout Star Wars, you see a lot of that, a lot of similarities. And it's like, and now you're seeing it in Mandalorian, where he won't take that, you know, he would be like, what would you call like an Orthodox somebody, you know, that would be like very,
different
you know,
sects.
Yes, within, different within sects, and then stuff. A little more relaxed and stuff. And it's I love the story. I wish we could talk more about it, but I love the story and how their best way to put it is diversifying. Right by the end of this episode, it's awesome. So, all right, enough on that, because we will talk more about it next week.
We've got another few weeks to go.
Yeah. So, all right, you ready for your?
Yep. Okay.
Here we go. This is
We're gonna have to kind of touch on it, because I want to then talk about it when the disc eventually lands, because that'll be fun to. Well, as long as it's not in HFR. So relatively briefly then. So for those listening, Avatar: The Way of Water. So it hits.
We have it on stream. You watched it streaming 4K just quickly, and I also watched it on
Kaleidoscape
4K.
And both of us in 24 frames per second, not HFR.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, so that's the important thing for me. So in terms of the film, I enjoyed it much more second time round. watching it in 24 frames per second. Again, for those that didn't hear the us touch on it in previous months, when I saw it in the cinema, I saw the homogenized 24 frames per second HFR version, which I found extremely distracting, and it took me out of the film, and I did not enjoy my cinema experience of this at all. The two people I saw it with didn't notice it. I did not enjoy it and just flat out hated it. So this is 24 frames per second. It's only digital, so it's only streaming, but it is 4K and it was in Atmos. The film still has problems. I enjoyed it much more this time around, but it still has pretty significant issues. It's still way too long, and it is odd for a filmmaker and a storyteller as good as James Cameron is. You know, when you think of movies like T2 and Aliens and even the first Avatar, they've got a narrative drive to them. It's like a train on tracks. It's going, it's going, it's going. Whereas this film, for reasons I'm not quite sure I understand, the narrative just stops every now and then. They go, right, we're going to stop now, and you're going to see some people learn to swim. And then we're going to carry on a bit. Now we're going to stop, and you're going to learn to see a teenage boy befriend a whale. And then we'll carry on a bit. Now we're going to have a little bit about bullying, and then we'll carry on again. And this is, it's odd. This plays to me like a director's cut, but not a Cameron director's cut, which adds to it and puts really clever little scenes in and changes scenes. This is like a normal director's cut. It's a bit flabby and a bit messy and a bit, and a little bit all over the place, where it kind of it's giving you stuff that's ancillary to the main story. So that's still here, I'm sorry to say, but I did enjoy it more. And I didn't hate it.
I don't mean to laugh at you, but like, I didn't think the story would change.
No, but it's because you know where it's going. I think you could be more forgiving, or I am more forgiving the second time round.
Okay.
Because the first time I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, I don't care about whether they learn to swim or not. You know, this could have been done in a montage. You know, you didn't need all this time. Anyway, so it's better. It is better. It's probably a 3 out of 5 now, whereas the original for me is probably 4.5, 5 out of 5. So this is about a 3 out of 5. Now it's all right. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
Now it was much easier to watch this time around for me. And I appreciate this could be heresy. But for me, this is the version to watch in terms of its frame rate. I could still marvel and go ooh and ah at the image quality, and the computer imagery is still beautiful. But now it's not distracting. Now I can watch it and enjoy it and have the movie magic uninterrupted. So that was very welcome. The Atmos was decent as well, really nice. I want to see it on disc. I'm hoping it'll be even better. But it was good. And so I was pleased with this. And as I said, this is the way to see it. I don't understand why there would be a need to have an HFR version at home. I hope there's not going to be, fingers crossed. But we will see.
Okay. Now, I'd like to push back on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because why are you hoping there isn't one?
Well, what I mean by that is, I mean, I'm hoping there is a choice so that I can see it in 4K 24. So that's what I mean. I couldn't care less if there's an HFR version, as long as I've got a choice.
That's what I wanted to hear. 24
frames per second.
I wanted to clarify, I should say, because I'm pretty sure I knew that's what you meant. But that's what you hear a lot. People want stuff to go away that they don't like. Mm. And it's like, wait a minute. You might not like my podcast. You might not like me. But or the content or whatever it is. But, you know, we all have a right to be here. And it's like, you know, and it's like, and there are people like myself that like HFR. I don't now, like, I wasn't, like we talked earlier about variable aspect ratios, I wasn't a fan. But imagine if they were gone, if somebody said, no, we're never doing that again, we wouldn't have the glory that is Maverick, right? And then be like, and see that it can be utilized in a great way. So that's why I always want that stuff being, you know,
it's just choice. You know, choice is all I want.
Choice is what we want. I am, and I'll tell you, the Kaleidoscape version, I'm not gonna lie, when it came on, I was like, is this the 60? or 20, it was 48 in the theater. So is this the 48 frame? Is this, what do we got here? Is like this, what, I mean, because it looks fantastic in 4K, it does. 24 frames per second. It's a sight to behold, right? And like I said about Mandalorian, it's like, I saw it twice in the theater. I saw it both in my standard theater, which is supposed to be the, you know, the Cinelux or whatever, at Showcase, and then I saw an IMAX 3D, and the IMAX 3D was wow. I was really enjoying that experience of just being like, I knew the story. You know the story the first time you see it. Never mind seeing it and then knowing exactly the story. And there are little nuggets you can pull out from, like, things are said at the end that actually came from the beginning. That was nice. But this is one, and that's what I love about Cameron, is that his technological, you know, mind and why he does things. And I don't know if you've heard of the podcast Smartless. It's got Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, I believe.
And, oh yeah, I have heard of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's three guys talking movies, but they're all famous. And I forget what the last guy's name. He was on Will and Grace, I believe. He was one of the guys on Will and Grace, and they're fantastic, right? And they had James Cameron on, they had Spielberg on, they had President Biden on. It's awesome. And it's like, they get everybody, you know, it's like, it's so funny. They actually had Biden on before Cameron, and I'm wondering, and Spielberg, as a matter of fact, and I'm wondering, I always wondered, like, once you get Biden and you're Cameron, can you say no? You know what I mean? We're like, oh, well, I got to do their podcast now. Like, the president of the United States did it. So I thought that was great. But when he was on there, that's a great podcast, by the way. It's like listening to, especially for all, it's like listening to, you know, audio commentary on different parts of movies and stuff, especially Spielberg and Cameron. But I love listening to artists like this where they have something in their head and they can't, they're like, he had the idea for Avatar before he had, I think before Terminator. Right. And it was like or maybe it was a scene or something that he had, but he didn't know what he was going to put it in. There was a scene that he had in his head. And it's like, I love hearing stuff like that because I've said it many times. It's like when I do stuff, like I have an idea, like, and then, but I can't get it out. Or when it does come out, it's not exactly what I envisioned. But all right, it's as good as not good enough. And listening to these people, but he's that engineer. He's the artist. He loves to do this stuff. And sitting there watching these movies and just watching the technology that they're inventing, and it's just, I love it. And I can't wait to see it in, you know, whatever high frame rate, whatever the frame rate is, because I'll marvel at that as well. And just, I'm like, oh, because I'm telling you, when we get the 4K disc, I imagine we're going to get both versions, I think. And I wouldn't be surprised if you have to pay for both, because I think they should, because I think the movie deserves it. I think if you package them together, I think you deserve to pay if you want, and I'll buy both. I will absolutely buy. I'll buy Kaleidoscape if it comes out again. I'll buy it on disc if it comes out. I mean, I want to support, obviously Cameron doesn't need my support, but I want to support pushing the envelope. And that's what this movie does. You know, maybe not in storytelling, but it pushes the envelope in movie making. And that's what we love. So
yeah, all I want is the choice. If I can get it 4K, 24 frames per second, Dolby Atmos, on disc, I'm a happy camper. That'll be fine. But if it's only an HFR, I will not buy it. I just can't. I can't do it. But yeah, there we go. But yeah, fingers crossed. But certainly much better second time. So hopefully we'll get it, but we'll see. Yeah. I'm a little bit concerned there's still no mention of it. There's not even a release date, not even a tentative date yet. Which is a bit of a concern. Nope.
I thought it was the end of the month. Are you sure?
Yeah, I've not seen anything about that at all. If I might have missed it. but I normally
Avatar 4K that. Is coming. Let me see. What do we got here? Oh. Avatar Way of Water. Early 2023. Correct. You are correct, sir. All it says is early 2023. So that's we were all thinking it would be this month. Let me see. I thought, did we have an Avatar release date? I thought that was also, I thought we've read that it was no release date yet for that. I thought that was also coming this month too. Yeah, that was the rumor.
Some point in the
but
future.
It is coming this year. I do know that. We've had
been saying that about The Abyss and True Lies and
we all saw Tom, he actually questioned him on he put the video out on Twitter questioned the head of the studio that was answering questions, and he said, are we getting, you know, Avatar and Abyss and all that? And he's like, yes, we are getting it this year. So
I'll believe it when we actually have a date and when it's in my hand. It is a little bit of a concern. I am a bit worried about that. We don't have a date for Avatar yet, but we'll see. In the meantime, I've got it in digital and I can watch it like that when I want to. So, you know, it's fine. It's not the end of the world.
Nope. Exactly. All right. Let's see my next one here. Dragon Slayer in 4K Dolby Atmos. Was it an Atmos?
It says DTS Master Audio on your slide.
Okay. That is wrong. It was in Atmos. It was really, really good. I read Michael Scott's review on AV Nirvana, and then we had a little conversation about it. This was a couple weeks ago. I had this one ready to go last week, so I'm a little vague, to be fair. I'm a little vague on, I just remember being blown away by it, but I'm also saying, like, I remember saying to Michael, I'm like, it's not Casablanca, no way. But for a movie that is this old, from I forget the year of it, and you, when you see it, the colors, the especially early on in the movie, the I gotta do this 204. Early on, I had visions, like I was right to my head in 1981. Thanks, Steve. Steven says it came out in 1981. So for a movie from 1981, you're like, how is it looking this good? And why am I thinking of House of the Dragon? Because there, you know, Game of Thrones, I'm seeing like that production quality. Except for, and this is what Michael and I were laughing at, is like, oh my God, the editing is so much different back then than what they have now. It's like the jump cuts, the way they acted, everything was, you know, just different, I should say. It's just like, you'll notice the difference in it. But the home theater experience of it, it's absolutely a reference disc for this time period. The colors are fantastic. The black levels are, how do I describe it? It, like I said, a little bit of like House of the Dragon, but then the sound is really good as well, all throughout this movie. So I can't say enough good things about it. If you were a fan of the movie, and we say this about movies from that any time, older movies, catalog titles, as you say, it's never looked this good. I don't think anybody has ever experienced this movie this way. And it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Highly recommend it. I don't need to spend a ton of time on it because people are reviewing it like crazy right now. And I have yet to read a bad review on it, but I happened to grab it. I think I had it before it. I've had it for a little bit, but then I started reading the reviews and I'm like, oh, I better watch this. So I did. And it's fantastic. So, all right. Your next one's fairly interesting. Is that the right one? Did I grab the right one?
Yeah, you've got it. Right. Yep. So this is a random-ish watch, in as much as someone in this household has been studying Egypt of late. And I thought, oh,
we're going to be talking about that in a little bit.
Yeah. So I thought, right, I know Egypt. That's fine. Well, you know, that's great. I've heard of this film, Prince of Egypt. And there's been a 4K release in the last couple of weeks. It's come out on 4K disc. And I remember seeing it back in 1998 when it came out and not really enjoying it very much. And I've never owned it. I never bought it. I've not had it since. So, excuse me. So we watched this and I enjoyed it. Actually, this is on digital streaming. I didn't pay for it because I wasn't sure if I'd like it. And what I didn't realize and I'd forgotten is that this is the Exodus story. So this is the telling of Moses and Ramesses and what happens in the essentially the fall of Egypt as Moses leads his people out of Egypt. And it's really good, actually. This story is much better. The film is much better than I remembered it being. So much so that I am toying with the idea of picking up the 4K disc when it comes out here. It's not bad, actually, and worth reappraising. So if you're still on your animation kick, Deej, and you've got an afternoon free, this would be worth revisiting. I'm not sure if I'd say buy it. Maybe rent it.
I've never seen it, yeah.
It's actually pretty good, and there are, you know, there is music in it. There are some musical numbers, albeit they're not Disney style musical numbers. They're telling a story, but it's decent, and the picture quality was good, bearing in mind it was only streaming. The audio was decent as well. It's not really a home theater experience in the traditional sense of the word. That the home theater experience of this story is coming along in a minute. But it is worth seeing. And I
that's
think
if,
again, if you're into it, then, you know, I think this is worth reappraising. And if you were toying with the idea of getting the 4K disc, I'd recommend it because it is better than I remembered it being. So if you're a fan, you know, pick it up. So yeah, no, it was pretty good. Cool. Pretty good.
All right. Yeah. I haven't seen it, but who knows? I'm hoping to have grandchildren someday, so I might as well get my catalog going, you know,
have it ready to go.
And ready to go. Exactly. Yeah, you're laughing at me. John has like 8 of them. So, all right. Let's get right into this. Do we want to do this? Let's go. Here we go. The shot heard around the world. Shazam. After seeing Shazam, you know, 2 in the theaters, I was so. Like, I didn't like the first Shazam in the theater. It took me, like you, a second viewing to really enjoy. And I saw it a second time in the theater because when I saw it in the theater, I went with my wife and I was like, there was something going on. And I was like, I don't feel right about this movie. And it was just me, I guess, bad mood or whatever. And I went back a few days later and I did. I really enjoyed it. And I was like, okay, now I feel better. But even still, I still had that little bit of a, you know, it wasn't fully rewatchable to me. I love the home theater experience of it. I think I did review it on the show. I can't remember. I might have done it at Christmas because it is a Christmas movie. But I was so taken by the story in Shazam 2 and how that, I mean, I love the family environment and everything that they did with it, that I couldn't get enough. So I wanted to rewatch this and I'm so glad I did, because now having seen the second one and it actually, this one plays a lot better story-wise to me the second time around, or the third or fourth or whatever it is after seeing the sequel. Okay. Home theater wise, I'd forgotten how good this is. I mean, home theater wise, what a great home theater experience. And I had written that in my notes long before. This is the movie that blew my speaker. Oh. This is the movie that I was sitting there. And now when I watch a movie, like what I would call this, I guess a catalog title to me, we've had it for a while. I don't need to sit and watch it in a row. Like, from front to end, I'll be like, oh, I'll take a half hour in it. And this one here, I probably watched in 3 sittings, 4 sittings, maybe. And every time I couldn't wait to get to it again. Right. And it was the last sitting. It was towards the end. and it blew my speaker on me. And I was like, oh no.
Mm.
So I was able to, that's why I didn't want to talk about it last week. I rewatched it again with because like you want to test these SVS Ultras out with you know, content that you know. Well, nothing fresher than the one that blew the last set of speakers. And wow, it's the dynamic range that I'm getting now is so much better. The bass, the texture in the bass is so much better than what I got before. And I was already blown away. That's why I know I said last week I might be like a little bit of a fraud because, or feel like a little bit of a fraud because I'm like, what am I hearing now? But no, it was a fantastic experience. Like at the opening is really good. You know, you have that open with the driving the car and the kid goes in and stuff or whatever, but it great. The car freezing the windows or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All around. I've reviewed this in the past, but it is so, so good. So, and going back and forth, but well, not back and forth, just forth, go from the NHTs ruining them and then going to the SVS speakers and just really getting to experience it now twice. It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think it's a reference disc. I don't know about you, Steve. What do you think of this movie?
Yeah, it is. Yes, I think it is a reference disc. It's really good. The Warner's discs of the DC EU stuff tend to be, you know, when I think of Black Adam, when I think of, we talked about it earlier, Aquaman, talk about Shazam. They are very, very good discs indeed. They've got a process of doing these. And they're always solid. They're always going to look good. You always got really decent black levels, really nice kind of highlights. The the HDR is always really good. And I think the bass is always really controlled. It's strong. It's muscular bass, but it never rolls off. It never goes to not with these movies. Some of the other Warner's movies do, but it's really strong bass, but doesn't absolutely pommel you over the head.
Correct.
And yeah. Move the room around. And I like that. I prefer the controlled bass to let's just see how deep we can go.
Right.
So I agree. I think they're really nice. I'm not sure the story's enough for me to call it a complete reference package.
But yeah.
I do really enjoy it. I do really like it. It's a sweet film in many ways.
It is.
And so I do. I haven't seen the sequel yet.
Okay.
For 4K. So
I think you'll agree. After you see the second one, the second one gives more context to the family atmosphere, plays on exactly what you go through in this one, in the first one. So then when you come back, it really, by the end of the second movie, you've come full circle on Billy Batson, really. And the arc is complete, I should say, not full circle, but the arc is complete that he's for this part. And it makes going back and watching the first one that much more compelling. And again, if you haven't seen it in a while and you've seen the first, you know, you see the sequel, when you go back the home theater, I was like, I've forgotten how great this really is. And the picture is fantastic too. There's certain scenes where it's very bright. And I think they did that on purpose because at the time DC was being, you know, lampooned because, everything's dark and everything, blah, blah, blah. Why can't they be like Marvel? So some of these scenes actually look a little blown out at times, like a little too bright, but it plays, it really does. And then the suits, the glows, his eye, the bad guy and his eye glowing, really, really, it's part of the story. But you can see the different glowing in his eye with the really nice HDR that this provides. And you'd be like, oh, okay. And you might not know it on first viewing what that means, but then the second viewing when you're watching it and you know what that means, and every time something happens, you can see the different brightness of his eye, if you will. So, I mean, just little things like that. But, and to your point, the bass was... They did transitions in this that were like boom, and you were like, whoa, okay. It was really nice, tight, discreet bass throughout, and really good. So Really enjoyed it. Highly recommend it. So, all right. Here we go. This is going to be fun.
Okay. So this then grew out of my having watched The Prince of Egypt. So watched The Prince of Egypt. And as I was watching that, I thought, I know this story. I've seen this elsewhere. And I remembered that I'd seen this. And I've seen this is Exodus Gods and Kings, the Ridley Scott version of the story of Moses and Ramesses and the fall of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, do you know what? I'm going to watch that. And I watched this the same day. I watched it the same night that I'd watched Prince of Egypt earlier in the day. Now, this film is one that I put it on Twitter. I think this is the forgotten Ridley Scott movie. Yeah. It's from 2014. It came and it went. It had its controversy because of the casting of its main characters, which I think harmed it quite a bit. And so it never really did very much at the box office. And I think it just came and it went and it's been forgotten, which I think whilst I accept the controversy being that the two lead actors are Western actors and it's a story from the Middle East and they should have had actors, so say, from that locale. And I get that criticism. I think it's valid. It is certainly an issue. But that's about it because I, as a film, really like this movie. I liked it when I saw it years ago. I bought the 4K disc. I've got it in 3D as well, 3D Blu-ray as well. But I bought the 4K disc and I enjoyed the story again. I think this is a decent, solid telling of a story that is known by many people. So I like the story. I like how it plays out. But as good as that is, the disc is even better. This is a fantastic home theater disc, I believe. It's certainly in terms of the image quality. It's a Fox disc. The HDR, the detail levels in this film. And, of course, Ridley Scott's a visual filmmaker. You know, there's no question about that. And he has brought his A game to this. So every shot is composed to within inch of its life, and it looks gorgeous. The detail on the costumes, on the weaponry, the details in the background, all this stuff just leaps off the screen. It's ultra sharp, I absolutely love that. And then the audio is really good. Now it says on the screen here, Master Audio 5.1. In fact, the disc I've got is 7.1. It's DTS 7.1. Yep. So it's new, but you're still right. Up mixed to Neural X, but it's 7.1. So it's like, mm-hmm. Whatever extra that adds, probably not a lot when we're up mixing it anyway. And I thought the audio is really decent. It's not absolutely thumpingly good. It's not fantastic. Hey, we've got John in the house. It's not absolutely
no picture though.
No, well, it's very dark where he is. Clearly, the lights are out.
Yeah.
It's not. Room.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah. Hey, John.
You can't see me.
Nope. No. Pitch black. So it's not absolutely thunderous bass, but it's very good, and it's still really decent, and it's solid. For this one, it's the video that really stands it apart. What did you think? Have you seen it? You, what do you think of it?
Well, allow me to retort. So this was one that I watched a little while ago. I did rewatch it when I saw it on your thing. I flipped it on. I hadn't seen it. And when I bought my Kaleidoscape, but it is one that I wanted to see. I love Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. I love this story. There's Johnny. How you doing, buddy?
All right, good.
But the problem to me was when I first saw this, you're right. I mean, it is a fantastic disc. The sound is fantastic. The picture is fantastic and almost too good for its own good because there's a few coloring issues that took me out of this movie, and I'll explain in a minute. But early on, you know that there's a scene early on when he's still Moses of, he's still Egyptian, and it's a nighttime scene in Egypt, and it was so bad. It was like, so they shot it during the day, and then they recolored it. But what they did is, and there's a scene later in the movie that exemplifies exactly what they should have done. So he's walking around Egypt at night, and they have, or dusk, it's like the sun's going down or whatever, but everything's blue, right? It's like, it looks like a scene out of Avatar. Everything's blue, but then they show, in contrast, they show the fires and the brilliance of the flames of all the torches that are lighting the city. But what really bothered me was there was zero glow or reflection on anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're like, you just knew that it was just like, now that it looked like at the end of the movie, they just went, all right, we got to get this done. Let's just make everything dark and we'll just pop those lights on. But then by contrast, later in the movie, you have Christian Bale Moses, a nighttime shot scene. Probably not night, but close to. It was a darker scene. He's looking down, similar to when in, Star Wars and A New Hope, when they're first looking at, for the first time, looking down at the city. They're up on a cliff. He's looking down, and it's a city, and there's lights and or flames. He's got glow from there. It's like you could see it on his chin and in his eyes. It was great contrast. It's a beautifully shot scene. But then that compared to the scene like very early on in the movie where like he's literally standing next to a torch and there's no glow. He's just blue. And I'm like, now, that being said, I do like the movie, but this is not my Moses story. Right. And I did like what they did. It's like they took in at certain times with some of the miracles that take place in this story, they tried to show how like God would do it. Like instead of just saying, hey, part the Red Sea, they tried to do it in a way that was like not so like it
fantastical.
Could,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And like I love like the sea turning red, not red, but the rivers turning red. They showed a reason that like God could do it, but without making it just go poof, it's all red, everybody. You know, he's not a magician. So he makes actions happen to make these actions seem plausible. I liked that, but it's still not my Moses story, right? It's not Charlton Heston. It's not the Ten Commandments that I also had, which is beautiful as well. But it's just a different version of the same story that, you know, it deserves the liberties that they took. I'm not saying that, but it's just not my Moses story. So that's maybe why I was taken out of it a bit. So,
yeah, I mean, knowing how much I love Gladiator, and I absolutely love that movie with every fiber of my being. I liked how they gave that the similar sort of sheen to this as well. And whilst Christian Bale is Christian Bale, and Joel Edgerton's very good. I like this movie almost in spite of myself. I just like how it looks and how it plays and how it sounds and just how it was carried off. But it you know, there's a lot of people that hate it. When I put up my review on Twitter and some screenshots, lots of people were like, yeah, it's forgotten for a reason. But I don't agree. I think it's better than that. But you know, there it is.
Yeah.
Horses for courses.
Great home theater experience.
Yeah,
and it is. Oh, there was one other one too. When he first goes on his travels, which it's the Moses story, no spoilers here. It is bad timing, watch his footsteps, watch the horse's footsteps or whatever. It's like they sped it up. I mean, it was faster than normal speed, and never mind the time jumps that take place that they never really tell you. So if you don't know the Moses story, you have zero context of what this is, which if you know the story, then of course, you know, but I thought that was really funny because when he first is exiled and he's got his horse and he goes off and it literally looked like old timey, you know, footage of it. Like really fast walking horse. I'm like, it's supposed to be a long journey and it looks like they're speeding it up on them. And that was a little bit off there. So again, that's usually stuff I don't notice, but I think I was a little taken out. So there you go. People that don't, you know, for movies. And I do like the movie. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time,
There are some issues. I mean, there's definitely a director's cut out there of this. I mean, Sigourney Weaver's got, what, about three lines? And there's no way she's in this movie to just do that. So there's a lot of footage somewhere.
Yeah. But I doubt a remastered director's cut would be nice. So.
Yeah, there is definitely another version. Can I just ask to go out of turn a minute? Could I just do my last one? Because looking at the time, I need to get.
Yes, absolutely. Is that okay? Which is your last
number five? The one we just added in just as we started.
Oh yes. Oh, let me.
Then I can do that, and then I can disappear. Wow. Nothing against you, John. It's just
problem.
Getting late here, buddy. So
I'm okay. I was fine to ride the bench for this episode, but
I want John Coach to say hi.
The coach forced me in the game.
Yeah, good.
Oh, I'm not forcing you, but I think it would be good. We'll get your three in, and we'll have a complete week, and everything will be great. And Steve's dying to hear your take on a couple of them, so that'll be fun. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, he's not going to be here.
Oh, he can. We'll listen to it later.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
So, all right. So let's. So just a little bit of context. So this is Gemini Man, in 4K and 1080p. And the reason that I watched this week is that Mark V on Twitter challenged me to watch this film in HFR, he said, and then to watch the action scenes in 1080p. So guess what, chaps? I watched it in HFR, and do you know what? It's still bloody awful.
Now, you'd never seen it, right?
Surprise.
Yeah. No.
You'd never seen it?
No. Okay. Never seen it. No. So I gave it 20 minutes in HFR, and that was enough. I could not, in good conscience, carry on with the HFR because it was just rubbish.
I think I know you're in a rush here, but I think HFR is very similar to, in a way, for the eyes. People's response to it is very similar to, I think, like sounds, like for ears. Like there's certain frequencies. Like my son can't handle, like if you grab a piece of styrofoam and go, my son's like, he's got to leave the room. And you're like, how does that hurt? Not that I choose to listen to it all the time, but you know what I mean? Like, and I'm wondering if that's actually possible. Like it literally, when you see something like that, it, you have a, you know, a visceral reaction to it. It's like
it just renders it inert. All the problems with HFR that have always been in place are on crystal clear display here. You know, it all looks fake. It looks like it's B-roll footage, and curiously, it does all the same problems that HFR always has for me. It just ruins the experience, the movie magic, you know, that I'm used to. I know how you're saying is just gone. Right. And it totally takes me out of the film. So I gave it 20 minutes and then I thought, do you know what? I'm not doing this. And I watched the rest of it in 24 frames per second and then watched some of the action sequences again in HFR.
Yeah.
So I did that because I thought, well, that I owe it. I owe Mark that. So as a film, it's an odd movie. In as much as not only does the HFR make it seem kind of fake and stagey and odd, the dialogue for most of it is fake and stagey and odd as well. It feels like a student film at times where you've got very, very famous actors and character actors talking in a way as if they're speaking this stuff for the first time, like it's a rehearsal rather
So let me Rob H did a great breakdown of this when it was in the theaters and he was 100% right. And if you've seen people act right behind the scenes and you watch somebody act and I even talked about it in this podcast, like if I sat down here and I talked like my normal voice, like just where I'm, hi, how you doing? And you'd be like, it doesn't come off well when you go to it, literally when you put it to 2D. Which is on a screen, right? Yeah. So 24 frames per second, there's a certain way you act. And I've referenced the scene many times. It's in Friends, the TV show Friends. And it just so happened, it was Gary Oldman on the show and he was teaching Joey how to act. Do you remember this one, John?
I'm sure I saw it, but yeah, you know, I don't remember.
So he's teaching Joey how to act because you remember Joey was an actor, right?
Yeah.
They were on the set together and Gary Oldman's like, you have to emphasize everything and especially your peas. And they, he starts spitting on them. And then Joey starts using his peas and doing all that. And it, they were going back and forth, spitting on each other. And Joey's like, that's what you're supposed to do. And he's like, yeah, because you have to overemphasize everything for the film. Well, in 24 frames per second, that is what you have to do. But when you go to 60 and you do that, it comes off really bad because you're in 60 frames. Everything's there and you're in 60 frames per second. So you don't want to overemphasize everything. So they actually dialed the actors back for the 60 frames per second. And everything you're saying in 24 frames per second makes sense, because now it feels like you're saying, like, these people don't feel like they're acting the scene out. Because they were acting meant for 60 frames per second. It's real, and to me, that's really interesting on how all of this plays together, and how and some of this goes off in the movie Babylon. Some of it goes off in other movies like The Fabelmans and stuff. Movie making movies, you get glimpses of stuff like this, and that's what I found interesting.
Yeah, which would make sense though, but it's not the whole film like that though. There are sequences in this where they do act in a way that seems more realistic. You know, there are some good sequences in it. I like the catacomb sequence. I like the I don't know about the bike foo sequence. I'm not quite sure about that one. But the sequence of the catacombs, the sequence at the end is really well shot, and there is some emotion in how they are interacting, which comes off as fairly genuine within the parameters of a fairly rote story. So there is some there, but it's just very oddly staged. So that was very strange. But in terms of the 24 frames per second, to answer the question that someone asked me earlier on Twitter, I am going to keep this movie in my collection, but not the 4K disc. This will be the very first time I've had a 4K and a Blu-ray, and I'm keeping the Blu-ray and not the 4K disc. I've never done that before. So this, for in 700 4K discs or thereabouts that I've got, this is the first time that I will choose the Blu-ray over the 4K disc. So that was interesting. But as a home theater experience, the HFR is a washout. I do not like it.
Yeah.
It is just as bad as it is. I don't know exactly that. As a movie, it's odd. It is all over the shop. It is weird. The effects work is pretty poor for a 2019 movie. The uncanny valley on the face replacement of the younger, I mean, it's not a spoiler, is it? Because it's on the poster.
It's on the screen.
Oh, exactly. So the uncanny valley of younger Will Smith is not really very well resolved. The lips don't move right. His eyes don't work right. It's odd. And that's in 24 frames per second. So God knows what it must look like in 60, because that's just going to bring it out even more, I would have thought. And so that's weird. But there is some good action. There's a Gatling gun in it. So immediately that's good news. Yeah.
About that. That was in Mandalorian. Yeah. They used it in this week.
They did.
They used it this week. And I'm like, yeah, Steve doesn't like that. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, well, there you go. So there is a Gatling gun in this. And that whole sequence is very well done, by the way. Pretty bassy and lots of surround activity. But what was weird, I don't know if you got this. So no spoilers. The bad guy is on a roof at the end. That reminded me of Brian Dennehy in First Blood, of him being on top of the police station.
No,
I couldn't get my head around off that then.
Yeah,
it was just making me think of it's Rambo, it's First Blood.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same.
It's funny you say that. I feel like I thought the same thing. I really do, because we both love that movie, and I feel like it's just like I didn't find it to be a negative. I just was like, hey, interesting, you know, like that's pretty cool. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it was, I don't know, a reference, an homage. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it could well have been. It even looked like it was lit the same way. It's an interesting film. I'm glad I've seen it finally. I could have not bothered with the HFR at all, as far as I'm concerned. It didn't add anything, it only took it away from me. But it's a strange movie. I'm not sure how many times I'd rewatch it, but it's not a complete bust. You know, it is
right.
It's not offensively bad. It's just odd. And so it's one of those films that I'd keep, because I think I might go back to it at some point, but never again in HFR. It'll be 24 frames per second, and that's it. And you know, and I'm happy with that. I mean, you still get all the detail, you still get all the you know, the texture of the image. It's just you don't get the ultra real you know, soap opera effect that you get with HFR. So the Blu-ray is perfectly acceptable, I think. So yeah, but an interesting experiment. And you know, and I'm grateful to Mark, if he listens to this, for challenging me to watch it, because I think it's an important film technologically. It's part of the conversation moving forward about HFR and its place in the universe. And so I'm glad I've seen it in that respect. But yeah. But there we go. So there we go. So that's my view on it anyway.
There you go. I like the story. I like the idea that just like you said, the story. What I like about the story is it plays into your HFR. It's like the story is kind of breaking down, like, just because we can with technology, should we? And that's kind of how we feel about, like you feel about HP. Just because we can do it doesn't mean we should be.
Yeah, well,
right. Indeed. So it kind of plays together, and it's like the movie's about technology, but they're using technology in the movie to be like, well, if we don't try it here, what are we going to do? You know, you never know. So I thought that was a lot of fun with that. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah. All right. No, glad you did it though. Yeah, well, another reason for you to get a Kaleidoscape someday. I know you've got issues with where you're going to locate it, but it is in 4K and no HFR on Kaleidoscape.
I see. That would be interesting. I would be curious to see that. That would be an interesting experience.
It's kind of like, I felt like Avatar. It feels like it's really good.
It's cheaper for you to fly to DJ's house and watch it than it is to buy a Kaleidoscape. So.
Literally. Yes. Yeah. Quite literally, I can fly first class.
So if you're that curious,
next flight.
There you go. Always invited.
All right. So in which case, I'm going to then get out of here, guys. If that's okay,
right.
Just because it's quarter to midnight here, and I'm, as I said, I've got an interview at a prison tomorrow, so I need to be there for that. Not good if I'm snoring in the corner.
No,
All right. Yeah, but I don't want you to think, John, you turn up and I disappear. Sorry, mate. That's
no. I love it.
I'm not being rude.
Glimpses of the 24-hour show. All right.
I knew you were ending at 5:30. So.
Oh, okay. Tag team. Sort of a tag team.
There we go.
Take over. Go get him.
All right.
All right, guys. There we go. See you next week. All right.
All the best. Right. Thanks, Steve. Cheers, guys. Later, buddy.
Cheers. Bye. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right. You want to go with one?
I guess.
I've got three left. You've got three left.
Okay.
We are good to go. And we've already played. I'll play it again for you. Did you hear it?
I didn't hear anything.
Oh, you didn't listen at all or live? Or
No, I was at work.
I know you were busy at work. Yeah. But here we go.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Yeah. Ovaltine?
Nice.
So, yeah, we showed everybody the Sulf Baton X1, I believe it is. And, we played the Ovaltine. And we're playing it yet again. So the keyword or whatever, what did you call, what is it? The code word.
The code word
for this week is Ovaltine.
Ovaltine. So, drink your Ovaltine.
Drink your Ovaltine. All right. Which one do you want to go with first? Your number one? Or
yeah, my first one is fine. Yeah. So Shadow and Bone Season 2. Did you watch this show at all?
I can't remember if I did.
Yeah,
I
that's
feel
the problem.
Like I did.
So season
I feel like
one,
we did on chat, right?
Yeah. Didn't season we? One came out, I think, 3 years ago. I really liked it, but I was like not going to watch this because it had been so long since I saw season one and I couldn't remember a bit of it. And I was really just going to let this thing go.
It's on Netflix. But I don't have it in the graphic, but
yeah,
it is
I'm
on
sorry.
Netflix.
It's on Netflix. It streams in 4K HDR with Atmos.
With Atmos,
But we finished The Sopranos Sunday, and I was like, I didn't have anything on deck to watch. So, and this kind of popped up. So I said, all right, let's watch this. This show definitely could have done with a last season on Shadow and Bone because they didn't. No. They just launched right into the story in episode one of a show that most people haven't seen in a couple of years. And it took a bit, like episodes, not just part of one. It took multiple episodes to get back into the swing of this show. All that being said, though, what we care about is the home theater aspect of it the most. This is phenomenal. like
phenomenal.
Like phenomenal. Like it is really, really good. The Atmos on this is fantastic. And I know it's a streamer, but it is fantastic.
Yeah.
Although now I listened to part of your the Takeover Tuesday, and now that you have new speakers and streaming sounds like rubbish, you may not think that
it's not that it sounds like rubbish. There's just more my streams are better than they were, but there's more of a gap. That's all. They don't sound like rubbish. Right. They're just not as good as what physical is.
Yeah, this isn't as good as physical for me either, but it is really, really good. And the HDR is also really good. You know, there's some scenes in this where you won't remember it, I guess, if you even saw it, but they're in what they call the fold, and it's just like a giant chasm of darkness. But, you know, it's magic. So they're shooting light from their hands, and it's like different colored lights in like this black environment. It just looks great. Kind of like underwater, like maybe like a jellyfish underwater or something, you know, that kind of glowing lights in the dark. It just looked great. Once I got back into the show, it's actually really good. I'm glad I watched it. I hope it's not 3 years again before season three comes around, because I'll be forced to probably watch this again. Just so.
Yeah. Do you think we watched it on chat? You know. Do you think? I mean, give me a glimpse of the story. I that's the thing, is I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh man, it's so hard to summarize, but like I said, the bad guy is, he creates something they call the fold, and it's this giant barrier between lands, and it's like a darkness, and it's full of monsters. And, you know, you've got your girl who's the hero, the girl with all the gifts, and she's the one that's the chosen one that's going to bring this thing down. But of course she has to discover who she is. She has to learn how to use her powers. She's being like courted by the bad guy because they don't know he's the bad guy. And, you know, so she's kind of working with him, even though he's kind of pushing her in the wrong direction. But I don't know. There's a lot of like, they're on a boat that kind of goes over the land. It flies. It's like, Peter Pan, I guess, and they're going through the fold on this boat that's not on water. It's just kind of going through the fold. But anyways, like I said, it's actually really good. It's a good show, and I'd just throw on an episode or two just to
get
some of the home theater experience, and then see if it comes back to you. Now Lydia watched the whole season and enjoyed it, but told me at the end that she didn't remember any of season one, even after watching all of season two. So
yeah,
she's like, I still don't remember any of that, but it was still good. So that's the problem with some of these shows just taking so long.
Yeah.
And the amount of stuff we consume in the meantime that,
right,
you know, you just don't remember that stuff. But
yeah.
Really good though.
Yeah.
Like I said,
because I'd love to, especially where you said, like, it's a great home theater experience. Of course, right. We want to take that in. So, especially
well, if that's it.
The first one too.
Yeah, and like I said, throwing it on just to get a couple of, just to get the sound. If you don't know the story at all, now you're jumping into season two, what you never saw season one. Because honestly, I don't remember how good season one was when it comes to the home theater part of it. Because it's so long ago. It could be really good too. And I probably wasn't even watching it. I definitely didn't have my projector.
No.
I might not have even had my setup when I watched season one of this.
Right.
So who knows? But
all right.
But yeah, give it a shot and see what you think.
All right. I watched, we'll go to The Tomorrow War next. This as a stream was great. Everybody's talking about it, but this is one of the ones that came to Kaleidoscape recently, within the past week. I think we talked about it last week, but I didn't talk about like the home theater experience side of it. It's absolutely, when this comes to disc, it's amazing. This is a reference disc. Absolutely a reference disc when it comes to disc. The opening on this, you remember it from seeing the stream. It's just, you know, this is one of those where just, you know, it's a great demo. Put it in, put it on, whatever. Just push play and just watch because, you know, it's a later part of the movie. Right. But it's the bass in here is just so good. And then the 4K is so much better. I mean, it is streaming is good. It is really good. That's not even fair to say. To say it like that sounds like it's good. Yeah. No, streaming is incredible now. But that little bit that you get that most of our listeners, we can take advantage and see the difference between a disc and the stream. And this is one of those movies that, you know, it's awesome that Amazon's doing it now. And I guess it's because they have a deal with Paramount or whatever. So they're going, Paramount is releasing more of their titles physically, even though they were on Amazon. So we're getting more and more. And this one, I was shocked to see this show up on Kaleidoscape. I was just, you know, I go on every day and see what's new. And this was there. And I was like, it's, if you like the stream, you're going to absolutely love the disc.
I'll definitely buy the disc if it shows up. You know, like I don't have Kaleidoscape, so this will be a disc that I would definitely add to my collection because it's almost reference quality streaming,
right?
You know? So
yeah, it is that good. And this is one that I did with the new speakers, and then go back and listen to the stream because I was blown away with the new speakers listening to this. And I'm like, this is amazing. And you're like, but yeah, well, okay. Well, back the truck up.
Right.
Because
maybe it's last the speakers,
last time I saw it, it was on a stream with a different set of speakers.
Right.
So I went back to the stream and I watched a lot of the scenes, but like the action scenes, like the jump, which is kind of how they open, but later on you get the full version at 34 minutes. The stream was enhanced, and that's why I wanted to get to that. Like you said, your streams stink. No, they don't stink. They are enhanced, because when I went back to it, I was expecting to hear what I heard before, and I was like, oh, this is even better too. So you know what I mean? It's not as good as the physical, or as the Kaleidoscape, but even the streams are much enhanced with the SVS Ultras, much enhanced. And nice. There's a bigger gap now between streams and the physical. 'Cause I'm like, wow, it's amazing. The stuff that you're hearing. Speaking of the,
I was going to say, not to interrupt you, but as an aside to that, the other movie that they dropped, The Aeronauts, you're going to want to pick that up too.
I asked you about that one, didn't I?
No, did you
I
didn't. Ask? But I
oh, I asked John about it.
I'm John.
No, I meant Johnny Speakers. Somebody I talked to about it recently.
Okay.
If they'd seen it, and I should get it.
I talked about it on chat a couple years ago when it came out.
Okay.
It's one of those movies. It's a good movie. You know, like, it's definitely entertaining and it's fun and it's a good movie. It's Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones. I'll watch Felicity Jones in anything. So that was good enough for me. But the sound in this, it was great on Amazon. So I can only imagine how much better it's going to be on Kaleidoscape. A lot of it takes place in like a hot air balloon. So they're way up. There's winds. There's, you know, just awesome. A lot of, yeah, it's, they're in a storm in the balloon. It's, I can only imagine. 'Cause again, I don't have a Kaleidoscape, but right. I know what it was like on Amazon and it was pretty damn good. So I'd be interested for you to watch it and see what you think of it. And you should like the movie. Like I said, it's a good movie too. I think you'll enjoy the movie all on its own, but it will be a great experience. So I would definitely grab that too.
Cool. All right. Before we move on to your next one, VJ had a great question. Speaking of my speakers and my upgrade here, VJ asked, did you purchase Odyssey Multi EQX for your speaker testing? And very, very good question. No. And here's why. I had mentioned a while back on the podcast that that's kind of the rabbit hole I went down as I was thinking of getting that and running that with my Denon. But then I was like, you know what? I wanted to get the new Marantz. So I was like, I don't want to run the Denon and with that, cause it's only, it only, if you buy it, it only goes with that unit. Right. So I held off. And one of the reasons I chose the Marantz is cause I didn't want to get into another, I didn't want to get the rack or something. I wanted Odyssey. I was familiar with very quick. Or quicker, I should say. So no learning curve. Getting into the multi EQ, I've been talking with Ralph Potts over the, you know, last few months, and he recommends getting it as well. I just don't have the time to take advantage of it, right? It's not just to learn, not just to do it, but then to take advantage of it and then re-listen to, I mean, I'm very much out of my theater, way out of my theater more than I want to be. And to add that into the equation, I don't think would be fair to the speaker test right now, because it would just, now am I, what am I judging it on? Because it adds another level to the equation. What I like right now is I'm very familiar with the content as is, the way I've been listening for years. And I do run, I have been running Odyssey, standard Odyssey, for years, since my Denon had the same version that I'm running now with the Marantz. So I'm getting the same feel. So I think that's the fairest way for me to do it. I will be purchasing it and getting it for the new theater and run that theater with it, probably maybe a few months after I'm into that theater, right? So then I get to it, you know, I'll run it, listen for like 3 months, and then be like, all right, now let's run Odyssey EQ, whatever the greatest version is at the time, because I'll probably run Dirac then too, because I'm hoping by the time this entire thing is done, I'll have more time on my hands, because all of this stuff will be done and I'll be able to toy with way more stuff than I'm even toying with now. So, right. And I am toying with stuff. So tweaks of the week is exploding, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, great question. Great question. So, did I put it up on the screen? Yes, I did. Okay. Yep. There it is. All right. Your next one is, you went to the movies.
Yeah. So I went to the movies again. I've been to the movies a lot.
I know. Three weeks in a row.
Yeah. Last month and a half or so. Yeah. So I went to go see Dungeons and Dragons. Saw it on Sunday. Now, I didn't see this in the good theater. You know, I just went. Actually, I just went to the small theater that's right by my store. But I mean, as far as having good speakers and good video and all that, I mean, it's just average. Yeah. The movie itself, I can't imagine that this won't be a great experience when you get it home on disc, because it's that type of movie. You know, yeah. I mean, there's dragons, there's action, there's sword fight, you know, there's all the stuff that goes into making a good home theater experience. So I have to imagine that this will be really good. But like, I didn't really take advantage of it in the theater I was in. As far as the movie itself goes, so I enjoyed the hell out of this movie, honestly. It was so much fun. It is definitely what I would call an action comedy, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comedic elements to this movie. It has a lot of mass appeal. Like, you can go see this movie without having any knowledge of Dungeons and Dragons. But there is a lot of stuff in this movie for the people that do know Dungeons and Dragons. Like, there's the names of all the cities, the locations, the spells they use. Like, there's a lot of D&D stuff in here. But if you don't know it, it doesn't matter. My wife doesn't know it. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
It's very accessible, but there's a lot of cool stuff in it if you know. But yeah, I really liked it. I will definitely pick this up on disc and have it at home and watch it multiple times. My wife enjoyed it. And again, she knows nothing about Dungeons and Dragons, and could care less about it. But everybody in this is great. Chris Pine is great. He's always great. Hugh Grant is excellent. This is a spoiler but everybody's seen the trailers for it by now, so I'm not spoiling anything they haven't spoiled. But I wish they would have held off the fact that Hugh Grant was the bad guy in this. You know, it's right there in the trailer.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the movie doesn't start that way. And so if you didn't know that from the trailer, you wouldn't know, you know.
Right.
Basically, the betrayal that happens is it means absolutely nothing because it was in the trailer and you know he's the bad guy.
Right.
So that was a little disappointing because, like I said, he starts out as part of the group and you find out pretty early on in the movie, but still, it would have been nice not to know that going into it. And if I spoiled it for somebody, I'm sorry, but it's literally in every trailer.
Yeah,
so
me,
I don't know how
I don't watch the trailers a lot. But, not this one, but yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
I would have been like,
I'm sorry, because the one person that watches all the trailers is you. I'm the one that stays away from them. So
yeah, no, I watch trailers, but it's for some I've seen the trailers for this one, but it didn't register with me. And a lot of that stuff, and that's the thing, is that Steve and I touched on a little bit earlier. My memory for stuff like this, I've been in movies and been like, I've watched movies that I haven't.
Right.
Double Jeopardy. Well, Double Jeopardy. We were just talking about it a couple weeks ago, and I was like, halfway through, I was like, oh, yeah, that, and it's the damn title. And right. I still was shocked. You know, like, I'm a goldfish sometimes.
Well, so. By the time you watch this movie, you'll probably have forgotten.
I'll have forgotten, anyway. Yeah.
The other part
but
of it is...
But I did buy it. I did pre-purchase it based on your review.
The trailers,
not just now, but earlier.
The trailers make this look pretty unwatchable. Like, they're not great trailers. They don't do a good job of selling this movie. But this movie is better than the trailers make it out to be.
It looks corny. It looks like cheaply, almost like cheaply acted in a way in the trailers. And I was like, the trailers I did see, I was just like, I don't know. And that's why I asked you about it. And when you saw it and you told me, I was like, oh, okay, I'll buy it now. All right.
I mean, again, I have a soft spot for this, for D&D and these type of movies. But still, I enjoyed it. Like I said, I didn't find it to be... I know what you're saying about the trailers, but I didn't find it to be that way in the movie itself.
Right.
Having some comedy to it, there are some things that are telegraphed a little bit. But, but it's a lot of fun. And if you go into it expecting it to be what it is, you should have a good time with, you know.
Yeah.
So, recommend. It was
all good. Right. All righty. I'm going to get to this one right here. Have you seen this?
I don't know what's this one.
Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, have you? You're up to date?
I'm up to date. Yep.
What do you think?
I love it.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's 24 meets Lie to Me meets what was
something?
The,
yeah, I don't know.
the court one that we used to watch, but the guy's name, and he came from where he could read the court.
Oh, I didn't watch that. Bull.
There
I didn't
go.
Watch that Thank show, you. But I know I know from you talking about.
Yeah, we loved it. Jen and I loved it, and it's a lot like Lie to Me, right. And it's like you can read the cues and stuff. So there's touches of that in here, but then there's also touches of a little bit of 24. It has that kind of vibe on it. I hadn't even heard of it, and I was listening to HT guys, and then Ira saw episode one. He loved it, or he was intrigued. He really liked it. And Braden was like you, like when I asked you, Braden's like, oh yeah, I'm all caught up. There were two episodes at the time.
Right.
And Braden's like, yeah, you're going to like it. Keep going. And Ara did. And then I texted him after we're up to three episodes now. Jen and I we watched it in one day. We were like, this is so good. We just went right through all three episodes. We were so, it's hysterical about what, you know, I mean, there's so much to it, but it's a great, I wouldn't say it's great. It's not a great home theater movie or
show.
Well,
that's it. I didn't find it to be really, like, it didn't stand out for me home theater wise, but it's Paramount Plus.
Yes.
It's, you know.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a good show.
It's 4K, 5.1, but the 4K is nice. But and the sound is nice, but it's a good show too, and that's why I wanted to mention it. But
yeah, I didn't find out about it until like the night before it premiered. It was like a I think it was a trailer in front of like Blue Bloods or something, because it's on Paramount Plus. And I was like, oh, that looks intriguing. And I saved it on my Just Watch app. And then it popped up Sunday afternoon when we watched the two. And then
there was
the third one.
This
week.
We're watching it, and I'd never seen it before. I'd never heard of it before. Right. And then, like I said, I'm like, hey, I asked Jen, I'm like, do you want to watch this? So we did. And it's episode two. There's a scene where a guy kind of falls backwards. You know what I'm talking about, but I don't want to. And that's in a trailer, I guess, because as soon as I saw it, I go, I've seen that before.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I was like, and Jen's like, what? And I was like, no, I must have seen the trailer somewhere watching some show or something. But I've seen that clip before.
Right.
And I, you know, I thought I'd never heard of it, but so.
Yeah. Like I said, I was glad I found it though, because I like Kiefer Sutherland. So.
Yeah. Exactly. And he swears. That's what Ira said too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like hearing Jack Bauer say the F word.
Right.
It was pretty funny. So. All right. I'm really excited to hear this one. Listener was as well earlier on.
Oh, okay.
We had a listener write in. It was in Listener Experiences.
Okay.
So
The Night Agent on Netflix, also 4K HDR Dolby Atmos. I'm only halfway through it right now. I think we did episode 5.
What?
Last night.
That doesn't sound like the John I know and love.
Well, I just started it.
Oh, okay.
You
finish it.
Well, we watched like 3 and then 2 last night or something.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, this is great.
So is it third shift Jack Ryan or something like that?
Kind of. He's, I don't know if this really exists, but he's basically the night phone guy.
Oh, really? I was joking.
No. He answers the phone at night from like 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. That's his shift. And there's a phone in the basement of the White House that only rings. Like, I guess he's been doing it for a couple years, and this is the first time it ever rang. Like, because it rings. It's an emergency. Like when it rings, crap's going down. And so he gets sucked into this, he gets sucked into this mystery. He's an FBI agent. Obviously it was FBI agents calling in, and I don't want to spoil it at all, 'cause I'm sure you haven't seen it, but great drama. Like, this is really good. Excellent show. And it's pretty good. Like it was not as good as like Shadow and Bone was as far as the HDR and the sound. But there are some scenes, because there's as you could imagine, a lot of gunshots. And so there's some good bass and some good surround with some of the gunshots. But it's not quite as good to me as like Shadow and Bone was as far as the sound in the video, but it's excellent. Like I've never seen any of the people that are in it except for Robert Patrick's in it. But I don't know anybody else from it. I've never seen this guy before, but it's really well done. I think it's already been renewed for another season. So it must be doing pretty well. But highly recommend, especially if you're liking Rabbit Hole. It's like very similar, because it's, spy, intrigue, mystery, all that stuff. Don't know who to trust. Somebody in the White House is dirty, and you don't know who it is. And you're trying to figure everything out as you go. Lot of red herrings, as you would expect, because it's, they always throw the guys in there that look so guilty in the beginning to fool you away from the people that are really guilty. So, I think it's great. So I definitely recommend it.
All right. Yeah. I'm sorry. All right. Uh-oh. Cancel. Oh, I almost lost everything there.
Oh, I was gonna say, what happened?
Nothing. I hit a button and now everything froze. I was like, oh no. Wow. Did I hang up? No. All right. Let's wrap up with, I got Shawshanked.
Oh, yeah.
Ready Player One.
Yeah. Well, it's a good one to get Shawshanked by.
Oh, man. I just wanted to put it, I think you mentioned the race scene.
Yeah. That's one of my 3
Atmos scenes, right?
Being on an island scenes.
Yes, that's what it was. And I was like, For some reason, I was thinking it was right at the beginning, and it's not. It's a little. Yeah. It's like it's 10 minutes in, yeah, something like that. Yeah, but either way, I don't know. I reviewed this movie on the show. I've watched it in 3D. I love this movie. I read the books, both books. I haven't completed two. I started that a couple of years ago. You and I talked about it.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. That's how things go.
You read like you watch TV series.
Yeah, exactly. But I used to read a ton. But anyways, getting back to this, I don't think I've seen this since, obviously, I put it on because of the SVS Ultras.
Right.
But I honestly don't think I've seen it since I got the Lumigen.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least not in depth, sitting down going, oh, my God.
Right.
And the HDR on this is absolutely stunning. It is like the stuff that I'm pulling out now that I can see, and like just the skin tones inside the Oasis, right? And the detail that they put in and the creativity that they use, because you can inside the Oasis.
Right.
And, you know, like just Parsifal's skin. Right. And you just see in like the graphic, the lines in it and stuff, and going in H's workshop, or, you know, it just, it's so good. It just, from beginning to end, like I said, I've already reviewed it, but then the reason I put it on is because I was like, all right, I haven't seen this in a while, so let me experience this with the SVS Ultras. And I'm like, holy cow. It's just again, all the bass, as I said last week, has so much more texture to it. There's so much more rumble, and I don't mean the low rumble. I mean the on my chest, like that. It's really, really cool.
Right.
But then how? And I mentioned this last week too, but it really played well on this movie, is that how my soundstage is expanded. It's just wide, like my room feels bigger. And then you think of the towards the end when you have that big scene of like everybody attacking, and it's like, you know, it's like a old timey gladiator scene, but it's in the Oasis. And it's just like the sounds all around you are just, they're clear, they're vast, they're all this. My room just felt, every time I put this on now, I feel like my room just expanded. Like it's right. Like the walls aren't there anymore, and it's even further than it was before. And again, I don't want to say, like, and I said it before, and I'm saying I don't want to say it, but I'll say it. But you feel like a fraud. But at the same time, it's like, this is the journey. This is the fun. Right. And it's, you don't know what you don't know. And a bunch of listeners this week said that to me, like, don't feel it. Like, and it's like, but it's so great. And this movie really exemplifies it. It's such a great home theater experience.
The thing is, whatever speakers you end up with in your new theater, there's something else out there that'll still make you feel like a fraud. So,
right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, that's, I wouldn't even entertain that notion, to be honest with you.
I know it doesn't make me want to quit or anything like that. Right. I'm just saying, like, but you know what I mean? Like, you feel like, oh, it's like one of those, like, where you been all my life? But right. I had no reason to. And it's not like I haven't done anything over the last 30 years. And I love the experiences I've had over those 30 years because like I said, I'm like, I chose a great set of speakers. I lived with that. And at the rest of my theater was able to evolve.
Right.
And Todd Anderson and I were laughing today. We were talking about something, and we were talking about some upgrades and stuff about different tech. And we said something it's kind of true. And that's what we were laughing about. We were like, any new upgrades that come out on new tech, right? Whether it's displays or codecs or something, they're going to be so minor to most of us because our systems are so, they're taking advantage of so much as it is, that the new upgrades are very, very minor. You know, if you come out with a new HDR, well, we're really kind of pulling everything we can out of this. So what are they going to do to really amaze us? And Todd and I couldn't come up with anything really, anything that would be big. But then I made the joke to him. I go, well, I go, of course, there's nothing really left unless you just listen to the same set of speakers for 30 years.
Right.
Then you're blown away.
Right.
You know, and but it's true. It's like, and that's what I think makes it even more
fun.
Or
it's a technology that you can't fathom yet. You know what I mean?
Which
it's
is
just something
fantastic.
That we don't know yet. Because,
correct. Yeah. And that's always exciting. And that's, you know, you never, I can't even imagine. And that's like the literal truth. You can't imagine. And that's what's fun about Ready Player One is that's what I think people think we're going towards is an Oasis type, you know, Meta or Oasis or whatever. We think we're going there. I don't think that's where we're really going to go. But that is fun to think about, the technology that goes into it. But then watching that movie and the technology that went into the movie is just so much. I'm going to watch it again sometime soon because it had been too long and I didn't realize it until you sit down and go, wow.
Yeah, it's great.
It is absolutely great. So another one, a great one to be Shawshank.
I don't think I haven't watched it with the projector either. So I might pull it out pretty soon too and give it another spin.
There you go. There you go. All right. That's it. Another show down. John, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
That was fun. That was fun. Hey,
better late than never.
We're making it work, right? Yep. We're making it work every week, 4 o'clock. Regardless of who's here, well, it has to be me because, like I said, Steve, at the beginning, I'm like, I'm the one that pushes play.
Yeah,
being out there,
you're the one.
Yeah. So
Steve and I are interchangeable.
Yeah, sorry to say, but
no, it's fine.
But yeah, no, thanks for getting on. Steve and I were joking. I'm like, I could just have him call in from his phone or something and get you on just to say hi or something. But then I was like,
I was just gonna turn on the TV and jump into the YouTube stream and say hi. But
yeah, oh no, I'm glad we got your stuff in here. But yeah, so all right, everybody, thank you everybody for watching, listening, participating on the stream. Join us each week, 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, also on Tuesdays are the Takeover Tuesdays. Next one's another very special one coming up. Very excited for you guys to hear from this guest. New to the show, he's been mentioned before, but he's new to the show. Really excited to have this conversation for you guys all to hear it. So that's all I'm gonna say because you know me. All right, till next week, what do we gotta do?
Go push play.
What he said.
There we go.
Steve, the voice from the beyond.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.